The dance poem Joux by Claude Debussy, played by the French National Radio Orchestra, conducted by Jean Martinon. That's Saturday Classical. Thanks for joining us tonight. Stay tuned for Joel Block and Stardate, and then Eric Corley and Brain Damage here on Long Island's first station of the 90s, and the first station in the 90s, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate, August 17th. We'll talk about Deneb, a supergiant star, after this. Stardate, August 17th. One of the most powerful stars visible in our night sky is a blue-white supergiant named Deneb. Now, that doesn't mean that Deneb is the brightest star visible from Earth. It's so far from us that it appears to be fainter than many other stars that are really smaller and dimmer. For example, Deneb doesn't appear to be as bright as the star Vega, another member of the Summer Triangle, that's high overhead on August evenings. But Vega's only 25 light-years away, while Deneb's 1,500 light-years from Earth. To be so far away from us, and yet shine so brightly in our night sky, Deneb must be a very luminous star. And so it is. Deneb's classified as a supergiant star. It's probably about 25 times as massive as our Sun, and it's much hotter than our Sun. If Deneb were as close to us as Vega, it would be bright enough to cast shadows. If it were as close to us as our Sun, we'd be blinded by its light and vaporized by its heat. This magnificent star, by the way, has a pretty unspectacular name. It's located at one end of the constellation Cygnus the Swan, and its name comes from an Arabic word which means the tail of the hen. You can probably find Deneb just by looking for the Summer Triangle, a large pattern of three stars, Deneb, Vega, and Altair. The triangle's located almost directly overhead shortly after sunset, each evening in August. Stardate and Stardate Magazine are supported in part by the Friends of McDonald Observatory. For information on the Friends, just send your name and address to the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, zip 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
No. You're not going to put that knob down, because if you keep this on, you'll hear tomorrow's Stardate, and you'll hear another beep. Listen to this. This is great. This is how we do radio. I'll beep beforehand, too.
Stardate, August 18th. Looking inside the Sun. After this.
Here it comes. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Oh.
That was surprising.
I don't know. We have all the Stardates queued up there, and they're all going to run for about the next hour or so. yes, no one's ever done it quite like this before, but
no.
We're not allowed to do this, are we?
I don't know. I'm sure signing off the log reel.
Yeah, you certainly are.
I'll tell you that.
Okay, well, we won't play those, so that's...
Good idea.
Yeah, we won't do that. but it's time for Brain Damage, and we have a whole boat full of things to talk about tonight, and... The first thing we're going to talk about, Jim, is the fact that you're still sitting in the chair, and it's my show, and I'm the one standing. So,
excuse me, I'm sorry.
All right, let's play the theme music. It's not the official theme music, but Beggars Can't Be, you know, whatever. Selectus, thank you.
The lunatic is on the grass, remembering days.
All right, listen to this. That's Stardate backwards.
The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in the hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more.
I
This is Brain Damage. Eric Corley with you. And who let you in? Tony White is here doing something nasty to the machines. What are you doing?
I'm cleaning the machines.
You're cleaning the machines. Okay, well, if you expect us to believe that, fine. No problem whatsoever. Let's turn the phone off.
Where have you been, Eric?
Where have I been? I've been all over the world. Actually, I've been not all over the world, but on the other side of the world.
And, why didn't you stay there?
Why didn't I stay there? Well, because I had to come back here. That's the reason. That's the main reason.
We really don't want you here.
Yeah, well, we'll just let the listeners decide on that.
Do you think they're not calling?
Well, I haven't asked them to call, have I?
Well,
Ask them to call now.
Well, I'm not going to ask them to call because that's not the game plan.
They will not call.
No, because Moscow Mailbag is first, and Moscow Mailbag has what the hell is wrong with these headphones? You know, I sound like I'm coming through a radio, like an AM radio in my headphones. My head is buzzing.
It could be because that they're in mono.
They're in mono.
They have a mono sound. Yeah, it could be.
You're in mono? How do you know this? I didn't know you could go to mono.
Eric, knowledge is power. Something I'm sure you're not capable of having.
Yeah, well,
this moment, but we won't discuss that right now.
In the game of knowledge, you're running on a 2-piston engine. All right. If you're going to lose control, please do it outside. Okay, Tony White is collapsing on the floor inside the hallway there. We have to go to Moscow Mailbag, contractual obligations and all that. But we do have a lot to talk about, and we will be taking phone calls and making phone calls and all the other kinds of fun things that we're known for here on Brain Damage. Oh, lest I forget, I've brought back all kinds of records and bits of material that a lot of people thought I couldn't get, but I got them anyway. So there. we'll be going into that in just a little while. But first, the program that has not been heard in a month on this radio station, and the people holding the vigil outside can just stop now because we're going to resume right where we left off with Moscow Mailbag. And, of course, we'll also be resuming the Tripod episodes at 11 o'clock with a special catch-up episode at 10:45. Special surprised guests and all kinds of other things.
Now you look like a tripod.
Yeah. Okay.
That was kind of funny what you said, by the way. That's the first time you ever made me laugh in how so long.
Well, it's always good to...
I guess after looking at your face for so long, one gets accustomed to it.
Tony, you have a call on the blue line.
There is no blue line.
Well, that's why there's a call for you on it. Moscow Mailbag, folks, and then we'll be back with more brain-damaged
talk. Do we have to come back with you? Why don't we just put Jim Wiener on the air?
Jim, I have to respect you for putting up with this, with people like Tony White.
You didn't know. Jim doesn't put up with me.
Oh, no?
Jim just has to tolerate me.
Well, I think Jim has taken exception to those remarks of yours. And
have you, Jim?
Jim, is there something you wish to say?
He has no statement, thank you. You see what I mean?
Go ahead, Jim. The microphone is yours.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay. Here, let me get a hold of it then.
No.
Here, can I?
No, that's not what I meant. That's not what I just speak into the microphone. Say something.
Oh.
See? You always regret what you say.
Well, I just wanted to say that...
you really have nothing to say at all, Mr. Winters.
Okay, your microphone is now going off. Jim, you have the floor.
Jim, if you say...
I have the floor? Okay, could you please get up so I can remove some of that?
Okay, that's it.
Jokes.
Moscow Mailbag, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. Well, hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Okay, a bit hot, but I'm used to this kind of weather.
Great stuff. Well, let's get straight down to the questions. And the first one today comes from a certain Bruce Hightower of Greenville, South Carolina. And he asks, is the MiG-25 still your best Soviet combat aircraft?
You know, at the recent... at the Aviation and Space Salon that closed recently at Le Bourget near Paris, our MiG-31 and the Albatross, which is an amphibious plane, stole the show. So we're told by the French press. The MiG-31... is a twin-seater interceptor fighter, weighs 46 tons, has a speed of 2.5 times the speed of sound, and it could climb to the very heights of the stratosphere in about 7 minutes. But please, don't think that we're saber-rattling, showing off our MiGs. Our Minister of Aviation Industry said, we showed the MiG-31 as an example of our capabilities, our scientific, technical, and building potential. He added, no country has a plane equal to the MiG-31. Now, the Albatross, also on show in Le Bourget, is an air-sea rescue plane, and this was the only plane which President Mitterrand boarded and carefully examined. Our aircraft industry must break into the world aircraft market, we're told. Why? Well, to earn hard currency, both for the country and for the aircraft industry. And we realize this is no easy job. Another good piece of news was the fact that we have an agreement to build a Soviet-American business supersonic plane, the Gulfstream Sukhoi. The ecologically clean engines for it will be designed by Rolls-Royce of Britain and Lulka of the Soviet Union. Pratt Whitney is to design engines for our super long-distance airliner, the Ilyushin 96M.
A Mr. or Mrs., I'm not quite sure, Jay DeVree of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, has a question. I'm sure it's not personally directed at you, but she or he does say, are you threatened with unemployment?
We are not threatened by unemployment. We have it. Last year, we had 2 million, according to international methods of calculation. And by the end of this year, we're told we may expect something like 7 million to be added to last year's figure. Our specialists believe the level of unemployment will reach 8% of the total number of gainfully employed. That is, it'll reach something like 10 to 12 million. A level, incidentally, characteristic of the Western countries during their hardest times. We're taking measures to direct some of the unemployed people to various public works and to create funds for unemployment insurance.
Over to Arizona now, Winslow to be precise, and Randy Dole asks about home gardening in the Soviet Union.
Well, did I tell you, Randy, that 6 months ago I was very, very close to Winslow. I was in Sedona, fantastically beautiful country. You ask about home gardening. Well, one thing you'll notice if you come to this country is that we have practically no lawns, as you know them, especially around the one-family homes in the countryside. Of course, many people do grow some beautiful flowers, and flower shows are regularly held. We even see them on television once in a while. But mind you, most of our city dwellers live in apartment homes. Nevertheless, about 20 million urban families are members of gardening associations or have plots around their country homes, which we call dachas. They grow vegetables, various greens, potatoes, a lot of fruit, berries, mostly for personal consumption, but the extra is sold on the market. Mind you, you've got to remember that we're in a difficult economic situation.
From home gardening, Randy Dole turns to the use of solar power in the Soviet Union.
I don't see solar power as playing any big role in the near future. Solar power plants, even at the beginning of the next century, will be producing only something like 5% of all the electric power in the country. Today, there's a 5,000-kilowatt solar power plant in the Crimea. It's already been commissioned. It's a pilot project. Of course, we do have many small installations, and about 50 solar plants have been built in the country recently. They provide hot and cold water for buildings. They do all kinds of small local jobs. Some are used to desalinate the water for our farms in Central Asia.
Unusually, a question has arrived from Japan. And excuse my Japanese, but it's a Mr. Yasukazu Kohata who writes from Hamamatsu, Shizuoka. Is that correct, Joe?
Yeah, I hope so.
Anyway, he asks, what is the current trend in religion in the Russian Federation?
You know, I think one of the biggest breakthroughs in recent years, like freedom of speech, which we're enjoying, like the freedom we gave Eastern Europe, is no doubt freedom of religion, which had been suppressed for so many long years. I'll give you some facts. 5 top members of the clergy have been elected deputies to our new Congress. There are members of the clergy in our Russian parliament, too. At last, we are printing no end of Bibles, both in this country and abroad. Thousands of churches have been returned to the believers. New ones have and are being built. Several monasteries have been returned to the church. You ask for the trend. That is the trend. Besides, this is fantastic, Sunday schools are functioning. The church is now opening homes for the elderly, and the church participates in charity. Church services are now held in the cathedrals inside the Kremlin, can you imagine? Churches at last ring the bells in their belfries, something we haven't heard for I don't know how long. A service has been held in St. Basil's Cathedral right on Red Square, and a memorial was consecrated, and a service held, where do you think? Right in front of the KGB building in memory of the victims of Stalin's terror. And on June 22nd, our Memorial Day, when Hitler attacked the Soviet Union 50 years ago, graves were consecrated by the church and services held at the grave of the unknown soldier just outside the Kremlin. On Russian Christmas Day, services were attended by Mr. Yeltsin and the chairman of the National Parliament, Lukyanov. More, the services were telecast over national television. You know, a day doesn't pass without a church dignitary participating in an interview or a roundtable conference or discussion on television. That, Kohata-san, is the trend. And, of course, just the other day, Mr. Gorbachev received the head of the Russian Orthodox Church.
Back to the American continent now, to Lincoln, Nebraska. And Paul Nenling has several questions. The first one is, what type of training would a young Soviet person need in order to teach American history at a Russian college?
He'd probably need a university-level diploma, like, say, the history department of Moscow University, or its equivalent, and specialization in the field he's going to teach.
The next question from Paul is, what requirements would a young Soviet person need if he wanted to be an announcer at a radio station?
He'd need a college education, and he'd have to pass some sort of test or a competition. Well, that was in the past. Now it seems they don't need any kind of test. The trend, especially on television, you know, is to rattle a mile a minute without any rhyme or reason. An anchor man on a national television channel reads like a teletype, mechanically stressing the very last word of every sentence. That's the TV news service. On another television channel, the news anchor reads every word separately and sounds most unprofessional. You know, it's fantastic. I can't believe it. Because we've had some very top-notch professional on our news, especially on radio.
Is Radio Moscow the only shortwave station in Russia?
Well, if by shortwave station you mean a station that broadcasts for listeners abroad, no, it is not. There is Radio Vilnius, Radio Kiev and Tashkent, which broadcast in English, Radio Baku, Minsk, Riga, Tallinn, Yerevan, and Dushanbe, that's in Tajikistan, broadcast in various European and Asiatic languages.
Terry Ide of Atlantic Beach, Florida, wants us to tell him about farming in the Soviet Union.
I suppose you know we've been importing grain for something like 20 years. Statistics show we have more tractors and harvester combines than the United States. Until recently, I read that the managerial staff of our country's farms equaled the number of farmers in the United States. A brilliant example of bureaucracy and low productivity of labor. We have too many farms that operate at a loss, and the debt of the farms runs into astronomical figures. You may ask, what is the way out? Well, the trend so far has been to combine various forms of farming, individually run farms, leased farms and cooperatives, and our classic collective and state farms. In other words, to combine all these forms. Farming on leased land seems to be prospective, but comes up against mountains of obstacles, bureaucratic obstacles. And voices are being raised ever louder to let the farmers own their own land, with the right to inheritance, and in time with the right to sell it. That, incidentally, is the line of the Russian Republic. Farmers must have incentive. Without incentive, there is no agriculture. And not only is there no agriculture, you can't run an economy the way it should be run unless you have incentive.
Joe, what about telling Terry about some of your crafts in Russia?
There's so many of them, I'll have to mention only a few. And when you say Russia, I take you mean the Soviet Union as a whole. Well, you'll find beautiful silver chasing in Dagestan, in the Caucasus, in Georgia. World-famous hand-woven rugs from Bukhara in Turkmenia. Also, in all the three Transcaucasian republics, Armenia, Georgia, and Azerbaijan. You'll find beautiful Palech lacquered boxes in central Russia. Hokhlama wooden articles, like spoons, trays, and bowls, painted red, gold, and black, also from central Russia. Gorgeous woolen shawls from about the same district. And, of course, the famous wooden dolls, with one inside the other, inside the other, inside the other. Some of them have, I understand, around 20, one inside the other. Which reminds me of what Churchill said about Russia. It's a riddle inside an enigma wrapped in mystery. I'm afraid it's not so today. Then, of course, there's the gel chinaware with beautiful blue designs. I suppose I must mention the beautiful Ukrainian and Russian embroidery, especially the blouses, the shirts, and the towels.
And finally, he wants to know some of the current hobbies, I suppose, in the Soviet Union.
Well, there's still very many, although it's hard to say what is a hobby. Do you include some of the games or some of the sports and hobbies? I suppose collecting is the biggest hobby, anything from match labels and beer mugs to stamps and coins. One of my friends collects antique coffee cups. Mushroom hunting is a very common Russian hobby. Then there's photography, amateur dramatics in various schools and colleges, amateur choruses. Some, I think, will call some of the games their hobby. For instance, cards, chess, or dominoes, or backgammon, which is very common in the Central Asian and the Transcaucasian republics. In summer, it's hiking and swimming. That's popular. Some people call going to a sauna their hobby. Now, my neighbor has a small lathe and takes great pleasure in making all kinds of things for the home. Not only that, he faced the whole apartment with shiny wood panels. Not that I like it. And he banged away for months into our concrete walls. Of course, some people will get strange ideas, but as long as it gives them pleasure, I suppose that is their hobby.
Come on, Joe, let us in on the secret. What's your hobby?
Mine is doing the mailbag.
Right. Back to Jay DeVries again, and he asked, what's the state of your inflation?
I'll give you a vivid example. Back in 1960, for every ruble in circulation, there was 1 ruble 42 kopecks worth of goods. Today, for every ruble in circulation, there's only 11 kopecks worth of goods. In other words, today we have 1/13 of the goods and products we had back in 1960. 1/13.
Right, well that's it for today, and that was Joe Adamoff answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. And don't forget, address your letters to the North American Service, Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter, and your comments are also welcome on this show.
Yes, and your comments are always welcome on this show as well. Show is Brain Damage. And if you ever have comments, you can send them to us, WUSB, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. And you can always call us at area code 516-632-6901. We'll be taking some phone calls in just a little bit. We've got some... Should we read the news now? Yeah, let's read the news and see what's going on in the world. And then we've got some music that I brought back from overseas. I've got all kinds of stories of adventure to relate, but we'll get to that in just a moment. First, let's see what's going on out there, where it's 23 degrees Celsius, 73 on the Fahrenheit scale, and it's kind of muggy and miserable, the way we all like it here. A hurricane warning. Oh, this is great. A hurricane warning is in effect from Wilmington, North Carolina to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Cautious residents along the coast are nailing plywood over windows and stocking up on supplies. The first hurricane of the season, Hurricane Bob, is headed their way. The storm was upgraded from tropical storm status earlier today. Bob is currently packing winds of 75 miles per hour, but is expected to increase its forward speed over the next 24 hours. Forecasters say it's moving in a north-northwest direction toward the North Carolina coast, but they add it's impossible. It's utterly, utterly impossible. There is no way. They can't do it. Forget it. It's impossible to pinpoint where the storm will hit land. And they warn. They warn with trepidation in their voices that Cape Cod and points north could also get a glimpse of Bob. Well, we're almost directly in its path. Hurricane Bob. Hurricane Bob. A hurricane is a palindrome. It's the first time I think that's ever happened. Anyway, in a unrelated story, but maybe there is a connection. Some minor damage is reported after a couple of strong earthquakes jolted Northern California today. I mean, this could be the end of the world. You know? This could be the moment we've all been waiting for, where those that have been chosen, those that have had the faith, we plucked up into the sky, and the rest of us will all go to hell. Then again, it could just be a couple of natural disasters. The second earthquake measured a powerful, but something to think about, okay? That's all I'm saying, just something to think about. The second measured a powerful 6.9 on the Richter scale, but had little effect because it was centered some 65 miles out in the Pacific. The first quake, which registered 5.8, downed a power line, set off small slides of rock and dirt, and knocked one house off its foundation. You know, an earthquake that kills 250,000 people in China would get less coverage than this one that downed a power line, knocked one house off its foundation, and set off small slides of pebbles. But that's the nature of the news. President Bush, speaking of the nature of the news, may agree with anti-abortion protesters in principle, but he doesn't necessarily like their tactics. He told reporters in Kennebunkport, Maine, which also might be affected by Bob, he told reporters today that Americans are becoming turned off by the excesses of some anti-abortion groups and by other disruptive demonstrators. He was referring to an ongoing protest in Wichita, Kansas, in which the Justice Department has intervened on the side of the protesters. Protesters outside two Wichita clinics. Whenever you see Wichita, you want to say Kansas. I don't know why that is. Protesters outside two Wichita clinics were undeterred by the president's remarks. They sang and prayed outside one, then moved to another clinic and rushed it, crawling under barricades and battling federal marshals in the process. Police proudly made 125 arrests. Hundreds of anti-abortion activists held rallies across California today as part of the Turn the Hearts California campaign. The protests were peaceful with no arrests reported. Organizers say one clinic, Surger Center in South Bay, agreed to stop scheduling abortions in exchange for cancellation of a planned protest at the facility. Big mistake, guys. That was not the right thing to do. I mean, come on. They bow in to terrorism, or at least to pressure. I mean, do you think they're going to go away the next time that they want to schedule something like that? Of course not. Bad move there. Look for Surger Center to be filing Chapter 11 very soon. The Reverend Jesse Jackson ended a week-long march to Connecticut's capital today with thousands of supporters in tow. Jackson hoped the 64-mile trek would call attention to America's social problems. It began in Bridgeport, which sought bankruptcy protection this summer, and ended in Hartford, where legislators remain deadlocked over how to balance the state budget. Not many people walk across Connecticut and live to tell about it. South Carolina has just barely edged out Georgia as having this year's best new license plate. A collector's association that encourages states to make more attractive license plates conducted the voting. The spokesman says the Palmetto State's plate is just real colorful and praises the way the design is blended so it doesn't interfere with the numbers. The yellow, brown, and green plate shows a wren sitting on a branch with the state flower. That's the most important news. There's stories that we could call fluff stories, but we don't read those because we only read the important things. Wren sitting on a branch with the state flower. Yeah. 10:37 here on a sunny Saturday night. And it's 23 Celsius, 73 Fahrenheit. The forecast calls for muggy conditions. Boy, someone has real sloppy handwriting here. In fact, I don't know why somebody wrote the forecast on top of the forecast that was printed out. This might be an unofficial weather forecast. This might have been placed here by some kind of, person that wants to deviate from the norm. Well, it's going to be, according to this, muggy with a chance of a late night shower or thunder shower, low in the low 70s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and possibly a few thunderstorms, high in the mid-80s. And tomorrow night, chance of rain and possibly a few thunderstorms. I don't know why they keep using the same phraseology here. Well, we'll be in the low 70s. No sign of Bob, but we're going to keep our eyes open, especially at night. Well, we've got some music here. As you know, I'm always in search of Big Audio Dynamite, Screaming Target, and Clash material, and there certainly is a plethora of that kind of stuff over in the UK, among other places. You've all heard about, I assume most people have heard about the jeans commercial that Mick Jones was lambasted for by other members of the Clash and people that, you know, like the separation of commercials and music in general. What he did was he made a commercial and re-released the song, Should I Stay or Should I Go? And while this commercial isn't running on TV anymore, at least I didn't see it on TV, you can catch it in the theaters. Because in England, what they do is they show a movie, and then for 20 minutes before they actually show it, they show you commercials. And people come in, you know, just to sort of hang out and talk and things like that, and they show all these commercials, all one after the other. Some of them are quite good. British commercials are actually better than American commercials. For instance, you can drink beer on British commercials, which you can't do on American commercials. You know, the Foster's commercial, there's two different versions of that. Every single one, there's two different ones where, you know, you got to fade to black before the guy actually puts the beverage to his lips. But in England, you can see the guy guzzling beer. You know, I don't know what they think they're accomplishing here by not allowing you to see that. I mean, are there people out there that stupid that they don't know what you do with it? You know, you see this beer in a glass. You're supposed to just look at it with, you know, admiration in your eyes. I think most people can piece together that, you know, you're supposed to drink that stuff and don't understand what the point is of not allowing that to be shown. But in any event, you see things like that. You see a bit more daring, a bit more experimentation in commercials. There's some commercials that just go by and you say, what was that? What was that all about? You know, people just sort of saying weird words or strange colors going by, kind of like a LSD trip that you just see on the TV set. And it's all over. And it's an advertisement for something. So, you see a bit more of that stuff over there. Another thing you see, And this was really, really interesting on British television. All this garbage that we have over here about indecency and obscenity and language and that kind of thing, it's not a problem over there. BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, the biggies, they show major films in the middle of the evening, 8 o'clock at night. And they have four syllable cuss words. So you can figure out what those are, but they actually show them on TV. And you know what? The people have survived. You know, the old people, the young people, they all sort of get through this somehow. It's not a big deal. So I was heartened to see that. And I was embarrassed to come back here where even Channel 13 censors bits of Monty Python's Search for the Holy Grail. It's unbelievable. And where we have to live in paranoia here at the radio station, in fear that somebody might say the wrong word or a song might have a lyric that the PMRC might not like. I mean, yeah, you got that kind of stuff over there, too, but not to this degree. And most intelligent people don't take it seriously. How did I get onto that? Okay, yeah, I was talking about Mick Jones and the Levi's commercial that he did. I saw it finally in a theater before a film. And it's basically, I'll play the song because I bought the single. The single has actually got the Levi's logo on it, if you can believe that. It's got a picture of Mick Jones playing guitar and says, "Should I stay or should I go?" The Clash with a little 8-ball logo. And next to that says Levi's with a little registered trademark thing on it. The commercial shows a guy walking into a bar, and I believe he's playing pool, and he doesn't have any more money to bet with. So the guy, the older guy that he's playing pool with, points to his jeans with the indication that, we'll play for those jeans. And so the younger guy plays and apparently wins, and this girl is watching him from the other side of the room. And you're not sure if she wants him to win or to lose, because either way, you know, it's kind of interesting for her, I suppose. But he wins, and the older guy gives him the money, and the younger guy shakes his head and points to the pants that the older man is wearing. And so the older man drops his pants, and the younger man just laughs and walks out. And it's all done to this song.
Darling, you got to let me know, should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you've got to let me know, should I stay or should I go? It's always T-T-T. You're happy when I'm on my knees. One day it's fine and next it's black. So if you want me off your back, well come on and let me know, should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go there will be trouble, and if I stay it will be double. So come on, let me know. This indecision's bugging me. If you don't want me, set me free. Exactly whom I'm supposed to be. Stop it!
stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. If I stay, it will be trouble. So you gotta let me know. Should I cool it or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. If I stay, it will be trouble. Gotta let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If I had my time again, I would shoot all the same. Fully grown, and I know where it's at. Somehow I stay thin, while the other guys got fat. All the chances that I've blown, and the times that I've been down, I didn't get too high, kept my feet on the ground.
It's delightful, delightful.
That's all a change of atmosphere.
I wish I could sing like that. Not everything's singing, you know. The only important thing these days is rhythm and melody. Rhythm and melody.
Okay, and that was not my segue, by the way. All those people said, what a lousy segue that was between those two songs. It shows up that way on the single itself. Yeah, Mick Jones merged the Bad 2 single called Rush with Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash. And that's how it shows up on this 12-inch 45. On the other side, which we'll get to either later today or next week, is the, they call it Side AA, is the dance mix of Rush and a song by The Clash, Protex Blue. So it's a lot of mixing and matching here. And we also have a couple other things that I'll get into in a little bit. But it's time for us to catch up to where the tripods left off. And to do that, we will play the last episode that we heard about a month ago. And then at around 11 o'clock, give or take a few minutes, we will play this week's exciting, thrilling episode. And I understand this one was nominated for a Radio Emmy, did not make it, unlike the one that did make it, which we played several weeks ago. I forget exactly which one it was. They were all fine episodes. And I believe that from the bottom of my heart, because we're certainly paying through the nose for these things. So, tripods coming up.
Portion. The following program is controversial. It may upset some listeners. It will excite others.
Radio Free Long Island, with the express written consent of the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the episodes of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week we rejoin Howard, Kathy, and their friend Boris as they have just left the sewer system of Nice, France, and entered some sort of a cage that houses an angry cougar, and we hear Howard. Now, the thing to do in a case like this is just remain calm. Don't let it show if you're frightened or upset or anything like that.
That is correct, Mr. Tripod. If we begin to panic, then the beast may feel threatened by our presence here.
Yes, we have to figure out the easiest way out of here, that's for sure. And we better do it soon.
Is there still a way out, Howard?
Of course there is, Kathy. But don't be so pessimistic. After all, we just came in, didn't we? So it stands to reason that if we can come in, then we can go out.
Oh, don't be so certain, Mr. Tripod. I have a strong suspicion that that there trap door, which we just now came through, is a one-way passage.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, but it does, Mr. Tripod. Whoever is responsible for the maintenance of this here beast would most certainly not want it to go through that there door and roam all throughout the sewer system of Nice, France, from which we just emerged.
Well, could you check anyway, Boris?
All right, I will. There. It is just as I suspected. This here door done be locked.
Rats. I'll tell you, we have the absolute worst luck.
I'll say. We keep getting into jams. But no peanut butter.
My goodness. I think we've upset him.
That is incorrect, Mr. Tripod.
Well, it certainly seems like he's upset, doesn't it?
You're right about that, but you're dead wrong when you refer to the cougar as a he. It is most certainly of the female persuasion.
Does that really matter, Boris? We've got to get out of here. I won't tolerate having Kathy frightened like this.
You look rather pale yourself, Mr. Tripod.
Never mind that. Let's just look for a way out of here. He seems to be... I mean, she seems to be getting closer.
Oh, look, up there. There's a ladder. And it goes to a ledge. Do you see it?
What? No. No, I don't. Where is it, Kathy?
Look, over there, on the other side of the room. Right by that elephant over there.
Wow. I didn't see him before. How many animals are in here, anyway?
I hear birds. And I think I hear a monkey, in addition.
Well, what kind of place is this, anyway, that we stumbled into? Oh, look, a duck.
It would appear to be an underground wildlife sanctuary. There are not too many of them left in the Western Hemisphere, although.
Well, regardless of how many there are left, I, for one, would be very happy to get out of this crazy place. How about you, Kathy?
Oh, I'm with you, Howard. I want to get back home to our happy suburban house on Long Island as soon as possible.
Well, then let's head for that ladder right away.
My friends, let us exercise caution. That ladder is all the way across the other side of this here vast chamber. There are probably 10 or more large animals in our path. We're going to have to play our cards just right. Do you catch my drift?
I understand you quite well, Boris. It's a risk we're just going to have to take.
What an the world was that?
It sounded like a dramatic theme.
Well, why would there be a dramatic theme in this room?
I don't know.
Did you just say something dramatic?
Well, all I said was, it's a risk we're just going to have to take.
Well, that does sound a little dramatic.
Well, even if it is, Canty, there's no reason for us to hear music.
Oh, look out, Howard! One of those strange animals is coming straight at you!
Oh. Why, hello. How are you?
What are you doing, Howard?
It can't hurt to be a little friendly, Canty. My, you're a big fellow, aren't you? What's your name?
Friends, I believe we are finally going bonkers.
And so Howard, Canty, and their friend Boris remain trapped in a strange place with strange animals. You want to be with us next time when we hear Canty say,
"How dare you call my husband bonkers?"
That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod family, presented in conjunction with Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Certainly was an exciting adventure of the Tripods, and don't fret those of you who just tuned in thinking that 11 o'clock was the time that we begin. Yes, that was an episode previously aired to bring you up to date. We'll be airing another one shortly. Now, to get back to the gene controversy here, guess what I found in a record store? I found a 7-inch record by a band that calls themselves The Stash, and they have a picture on the front cover of this 7-inch single that looks exactly like the picture. In fact, it is the picture from the first album The Clash put out. You know, where the three of them are kind of leaning on a staircase. Well, there they are. They're looks like they've stuck their own faces in their place, though. And instead of having the regular songs by The Clash on here, they've made up a couple of their own. They've made up they do a cover version of Should I Stay or Should I Go, and they also do their own little number, We're Selling Jeans for the USA. So we're going to start off, never before heard in this country, I will bet, by this mock band. Oh, and also they have, remember I mentioned they had the Levi's logo on the Mick Jones single. They have, they've sort of rearranged the words, their letters, and it spells S-V-I-L-E. So I guess it means this is vile or something like that. Something English. It's on Shaken Street Records. We're going to hear Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Stash.
Darling, you got to let me know, should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you gotta let me know, or should I stay or should I go? You got me broken on my knees, won't you give me a reprieve? One day it's fine, the next is black. So if you want me off your back, well, come on and let me know, should I stay or should I go? We'll be right back.
to set me free. Talking to the same I you. Oh, darling, won't you cut me loose? CBS, let me know. Should I suck or should I blow? Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go? If I go, there will be trouble. If I stay, it will be double. So come on, let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah, now, I was wrong about one thing. The name of this band, and I guess this is a common error, it's not The Stash, it's The Stash. T-H-E-E, Stash. So, sorry for the misinformation there. Now, also, which is kind of typical of this kind of music, the label is reversed. So the first time I played this, I thought I was going to play Selling Jeans for the USA, and I wound up with Should I Stay or Should I Go? It's also in mono. And full credit is given to Strummer and Jones for writing the original tune. And they also say on the label here that these songs were not taken from the LP, Give 'Em Enough Denim. And on the other side, they say, not taken from the LP, Levi's Tubbs Tears. All right, we're going to listen to the other song on this record, which is called We're Selling Jeans for the USA. Before we do, let me tell you about a couple of tapes that I found when I was over there. This is both for Screaming Target and for Big Audio Dynamite 2, which have been around in England now for some time. Big Audio Dynamite 2 had a show at Alexandra Palace in London all the way back on August 10th of 1990. That's right, a year ago. So they've been around for quite some time, still haven't been to the States, but hopefully will be soon. In fact, I'm pretty sure a tour is in the works. Screaming Target, on the other hand, that's the band where all the members of Big Audio Dynamite wound up, except for Mick Jones. They have yet to have their record released here in the States. We have an import copy here at the station. And we also have a tape now of Screaming Target playing their first date ever at the Tabernacle in London on May 8th, 1991. So look forward to excerpts of that in the weeks to come. Right now, though, back to The Stash. We're Selling Jeans for the USA. The Stash here on WUSB in Stony Brook. We're Selling Jeans for the USA. Oh, just don't get music like that over here. That's from the 7-inch. And boy, did I get a dirty look from somebody in the record store over there when they saw what I had and they were looking for another one. They couldn't find it. That's just the way things work over there. You got to be quick. And I was quick. Okay, there are all kinds of other things I have here. I'm not going to get to them this week, unfortunately, because we are racing through the show and we do want to take some phone calls. There's another version of, actually not another version, but just another single, Rock the Casbah. It's a 12-inch 45. It's got Rock the Casbah on one side and Mustafa Dance and the Magnificent Dance on the other side. Actually, it might be a little bit different. They say it was taken, Rock the Casbah was taken from the double album, The Story of the Clash, Volume 1. So, who knows, they might have remixed it. Another single, which is actually a bit of a mess because the album cover is actually a poster. I don't know if you've ever seen anything like this, but if you open it up, you wind up with this huge poster, and it's very hard to put the record back into the poster once you do that. It's got London Calling on one side, on side two, Brand New Cadillac, and a new song called Return to Brixton, Jeremy Healy 7-inch remix. And apparently Paul Simonon of The Clash re-released the song Guns of Brixton, called it Return to Brixton, slightly different, and we'll be probably playing that next week. And then there's an interview picture disc that I found. Don't really know much more about that. That's all it says. It's got a picture of Joe Strummer on the front, on the record, actually. And we'll play that in the weeks to come as well. So quite a fair amount of material. And, of course, the Big Audio Dynamite 2 has released an album. So we'll be playing bits and pieces of that in the weeks to come. So we've got our work cut out for us here. Now, though, it's time to go back to the tripods. We'll be taking phone calls after we catch up on this exciting adventure. Oh, by the way, I should say that while I was traveling around in Europe, I did go to Nice. Yes, I went to Nice, and I saw the sewers. Not from the inside. I didn't go inside the sewers, but I was there looking at them. And it's really kind of neat, you know. I wasn't sure what to expect when I went there. And I looked at them, you know, I looked at various parts of the town. And there's one part in particular where they have... well, I guess shrine is kind of a strong word. It's more like a kind of a dedication where people sort of go and look. And it was in French. I couldn't really understand it. But I did very clearly see the word tripods. And it was something commemorating the fact that the episodes were taped there. And that really was responsible. I was talking to one of the native people who works in the Burger King there, that when they taped the series over there back in the early 80s, that really rejuvenated the town, which had been suffering an economic depression up until that point. This brought a lot of the Big Bear City crowd in there. There were people running left and right, and of course that brought in the tourists. So they really looked positively back on those days when they taped these episodes in the sewers of Nice. And, you know, most radio shows would do something artificial. They would, you know, do something in the studio and pretend they were in the sewer systems of Nice. But actually, in this particular case, they really went there and did it. Of course, I remember at the time there was a lot of grumbling about the fact because of the huge fees that the stations pay for the tripod episodes, that it was just simply their way of spending the money that we were all sending them. But now I think it's withstood the test of time, and people are realizing that the quality of the series is what they put the money into, and it has aged rather well, like a fine wine or a fine cheese or, you know, things that France has value in. So, without any further ado, we want to go into the tripods. We'll be taking phone calls at 632-6901. I'll tell you some more adventures I had over there. Some good and some not so good. But, well, we'll save the details.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Alipo. This year's free health fair promises to be a most exciting event that will truly benefit Suffolk County and the people of this community. I believe the health professionals involved in this year's free health fair are taking a giant step towards educating and providing the public with a true alternative health awareness. Numerous health professionals from the community will be volunteering their time and services for this blessed event. To name a few, chiropractors, massage therapists, Qigong practitioners, podiatrists, reflexologists, naturopaths, the host of natural alternatives, and clowns for the kids. The site of this year's free health fair will be at 498 College Road, Farmingville, directly behind Suffolk Community College, on Saturday, September 28th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., rain or shine. That's Saturday, September 28th. All of the health professionals at this year's free health fair look forward to all the people of Suffolk County coming down, enjoying, and participating. For more information, call our hotline, 696-9606. That number again, 696-9606. Look forward to seeing you there.
Radio Free Long Island, with the express written consent of the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we join the Tripods this week, we find them still in the underground wildlife sanctuary somewhere in France, trying to figure out a way to get out. And as we tune in on them today, we hear...
Now, this store has to go somewhere. What do you think, Kathy?
Oh, of course, Howard. That makes perfect sense to me. All doors go places.
Yeah.
Or else they wouldn't be doors, would they?
Exactly. So the only way we're going to get out of this underground wildlife sanctuary is if we go through that door. That's simple enough.
The only thing we must hope for, Mr. Tripod, is that that there door not be locked like that there other door done be.
Right. Oh, okay. Now, who's going to go first? We have to climb a few steps.
I'll go first, Mr. Tripod. I am far more experienced at dangerous circumstances such as them here ones.
Are you sure you'll be able to open that door all by yourself, Boris? It looks pretty heavy.
I think I can manage. However, if I should need your assistance, I will call you.
All right. Well, we'll wait down here.
Gosh, I sure hope we get out of this place, Howard.
I do, too.
I'd kind of like to see the sky again.
Me, too. It's been so long.
Oh, I can't believe how long we've been crawling around under these streets of Nice, France.
How long has it been, anyway?
Well, let's see. Our boat tickets are dated 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we went into the sewers about 3 days after we arrived.
Yeah.
So 3 times 7 minus 3 is 18. We've been underground for 18 days. Howard, that's unbelievable.
No, Kathy, I think you're wrong about that.
Mr. Tripod, I need your help. This here door is much heavier than I thought.
I know we haven't been in here that long. Are you sure you added correctly?
I didn't add at all, Howard. I multiplied, and then I subtracted.
I don't know how in the world you could come up with 18 days.
Mr. Tripod, please, I don't know how much longer I can hold this door here by myself.
We've only been here for a week. Maybe a little bit longer.
Look.
The most.
It's been 3 weeks since the date on the tickets, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's 7 days in a week, right?
Well, yeah.
So 3 times 7 is 21.
Yeah, I understand that,
and
Kathy,
but... I subtracted 3 days from the time we arrived in France until the time we came down into the sewers.
Yeah, but...
So 21 minus 3 is 18.
I understand all that, Kathy, but... Oh, wait a minute.
Mr. Tripod, if you do not come over here soon, the door will slam against me and I will surely be squashed.
Did you take into account the time of the trip itself, Kathy?
What? Oh, you mean the time we spent on the boat?
Yeah, right.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Let's see, now, we were on the boat for about 10 days.
Huh? So that means...
No, wait. Now, let me do it. 18 minus 10 is 8.
That's correct.
So we've been underground for only 8 days, not 18.
I knew something sounded wrong, but that's still too long for...
Mr. Tripod!
Oh, excuse me, Kathy. I think Boris is calling me. Do you need help, Boris?
How did you guess?
All right. Let's push this door open and see what lies beyond.
One, two, three.
There are people in here.
Lots of people.
And they're all looking at us. Here. Take a look, Kathy.
Wow. Oh, what a mob. Look, Howard, one of them's coming toward us.
There's something familiar about that figure.
Oh, my goodness, Howard, what? Do you know who that is? It's Uncle Jonathan.
And so, after spending more than a week wandering around in the sewer systems and underground wildlife sanctuaries of Europe, Kathy and Howard run into Uncle Jonathan once again. You want to be with us next time, when we'll hear Uncle Jonathan say,
"Surprise!"
That's next time on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Up all you Irish feeling folks. This is something in a something happening at WUSB. Sin. It's Heartbeats Reggae 10th anniversary. And to celebrate, they're giving away a trip to the land of Jamaica. All you have to do is get a postcard right. Win a trip to Jamaica in a heartbeat on it and send it to WUSB 90.1, SUNY at Stony Brook, New York. 11794-3263. We were submitted for the grand prize drawing. Also, do stay tuned to WUSB Reggae Shows for more fabulous Heartbeat CD and tape giveaways. What a ting! Ja love. Give thanks, Irie.
Oh, boy. Well, I guess there's something to be said for accents. But that's a good one. That's an especially good one. Yes. Here on WUSB in Stony Brook. And boy, what a strange episode of the Tripods that was. I certainly wasn't expecting that. But we'll find out next week how that all turned out. It's getting kind of supernatural here. Our telephone number is 632-6901. Yes, we are inviting you to give us a call and find out what you've been up to for the last month or so. Has it been a month since I was here last? I guess it has been. And I had a bit of fun, a bit of misery, a bit of fun. I guess I'll tell you the misery part. Well, to start with, I wound up flying into Paris, which was an adventure in itself, because the way I fly, I use this particular service, and you sort of don't know where it is you're going to wind up until the last minute. So you show up at the airport, and if there's a seat for you, if somebody doesn't show up, or if somebody doesn't buy a ticket for the flight, then you get that seat. It's like it's flying on standby. And it's easy enough leaving, you know, because you go to the airport, and if there's not a flight to the particular city you want, they give you a consolation city, as they call it. And you can wind up anywhere in Europe. And it's kind of fun, you know, because if you're traveling around like I do on trains and things like that, it doesn't really matter where you start out. It just matters what you see on the way. So I wound up in Paris, and I spent one day there because Paris really wasn't where I wanted to spend a lot of time. And I took a bullet train. Yes, a bullet train to Nice. And I always wanted to see Nice. You know, Nice is on the Mediterranean, and it's a pleasant place. Really is. Nice place. It's got a beach. And by the way, you know, everybody down there goes topless, male and female. And some go more than that, too. And it's just like, you know, the BBC playing four-letter words. Nobody really thinks anything of it. You know, people survive. Here in this hysterical country of ours, we go into conniptions if anybody does something like that. But there, you know, it's a way of life. So I spent a couple of days in Nice, took in the sewers and other bits of trivia, and wandered over to Monaco. Now, Monaco is a country. It's a little tiny country about the size of the Stony Brook campus, and it's known for, I guess, for the princess of Monaco and, you know, Princess Grace, Grace Kelly, people like that. She died, didn't she? Yeah, I think she did. But anyway, it's a kind of a mountainous place. You get very tired walking around there. And that it's also known for casinos, gambling casinos. Now, I was wandering around there, and I didn't have time before I left to buy a new pair of jeans. If there ever was a theme to this trip, I guess jeans is it, because, you know, the Mick Jones thing with you know, the Levi's and the stash and all kinds of other things. I was wandering around with a pair of jeans that looked like they came from the Ramones. You know, they were completely ripped at the knees. Like, it was amazing that they were even holding themselves up. And as I was walking into a casino, the guy stopped me and says, you know, in sort of a French accent, "Now you can't go in there with those kind of jeans. You know, you just can't do that. That's not righteous. That's not right. You know, that's not something that we can allow here in this particular country." And I could not believe it, because they were allowing people in there with shorts up to God knows where, and, you know, tank tops and things like that. And here, because my jeans are ripped, I'm not allowed into a casino where I likely would have lost a whole lot of money. Yeah, I would have. But they wouldn't let me in. I thought that was a sad comment on the state of affairs. I mean, I could have torn the bottom of my jeans off and flung them onto the ground, and then I would have qualified, because then I would be wearing shorts. Then I could have gone in. So you get that kind of attitude over there as well. In fact, I think you probably get it a little bit more over in that part of Europe, where people are kind of class conscious. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. And so that was a bit of a rude awakening there. Then I journeyed on to Milan in Italy, which was a very confusing city. Extremely confusing. I remember getting off the train and trying to find a particular bus. And I think I wanted to find, like, the number 6 bus, which went to the youth hostel that I was staying at. And this bus was nowhere to be found. You know, all the buses stopped around the train station at various points, but there were no signs pointing you to where each bus stopped. You just kind of walked up to a bus stop, and you saw a series of 3 or 4 numbers. And, you know, you had to walk, like, around half the city to find the bus stop with your particular number on it. And then you found it, and you got on the bus. And like Amsterdam, they have a particular way of using their mass transit, where you're supposed to cancel your own ticket. There's a little machine in the back of the bus that you put a ticket that you've already bought someplace. I still can't figure out where you're supposed to buy them. And you stick it into the machine, and it puts the date and time on it. And you don't show it to anybody. Unless all these ticket inspectors come onto the bus or tram or whatever and ask to see it, you don't show it to anybody. So, of course, many people simply skip that part of the process where they stick a ticket into the machine. In fact, they skip the process of getting a ticket in the first place, which makes mass transit very affordable. And, of course, if you happen to run into a ticket inspector, which I never have done yet, if you run into one of those, all kinds of horrible things can happen. So no doubt one day I'll tell that story. So I wound up staying in Milan for one day, and then journeying over to Switzerland from there. I was almost stranded in Milan because I found out the train fare to Amsterdam from Milan was a whole lot more than I had on me, and they didn't take those magical credit cards, which really came in handy this trip. And it's most amazing to deal with all these different kinds of currency, because in Italy they have the lira. And everything is dealt with in hundreds of thousands of lira. Hundreds of thousands of lira. So I asked for the price for a ticket from Milan to Amsterdam and was quoted something like 650,000 lira. And, of course, you know, it's not a huge amount of money. It's like, I guess, $100 or something like that. But just to be told something with so many numbers in it is a bit of a shock. And you kind of reel for a moment. And then you catch up and realize that it's not a disaster, but it was still too much money. It was still too much, more than I had on me, so I had to buy a ticket to Bern, Switzerland, a city that I like quite a bit. You know, it has a nice kind of bohemian style to it. You know, people strumming guitars in the streets, and it was cool too. You know, the rest of Europe was rather hot and muggy. When I got to Bern, Switzerland, it was nice and cool, and a thunderstorm was breaking out. My kind of town. And I stayed at the youth hostel there, too. And that, unfortunately, turned out to be a big mistake. Because this youth hostel, apparently, which I found out later, has a reputation
for crime. Yeah, people steal things, which has never happened to me before at a youth hostel. Never. But this particular one, apparently what somebody did was go through everybody's clothes while they were sleeping. You know, they went up to your bed and went through your pockets, and they took the keys out of your pockets. And the keys were for lockers where you're supposed to lock up your valuables. And then they went into these lockers and took your valuables. And then they came back and put the key in your pocket. And so when I woke up the next morning and I went to my locker, I found that the video camera I brought with me had vanished. It was really a sad moment to be over there in Europe and realize that a very valuable piece of equipment, which wasn't even mine, it was lent to me by a TV production company because I was supposed to get some footage for them, to find out something like that had happened. But the most frustrating thing was dealing with the Swiss police. Now, I'm sure not very many of our listeners have dealt with the Swiss police. And by the way, I see the phone lines are completely empty. Please, people, call in. This is a two-way talk show, so we're willing to hear your side of whatever story you want to bring. 632-6901, area code 516. Swiss police have a very interesting way of dealing with crime. They don't deal with it. I guess that's what makes Switzerland such a crime-free zone. First of all, when I told them that this had happened, they said, well, maybe you left it unlocked. I said, no, I would not leave a locker with a video machine inside it unlocked. It's just not my style. Well, after realizing that maybe I did lock it, I asked them, well, is it possible somebody could have used a duplicate key to get into the locker? And they said, no, that's impossible. It's completely impossible because copying the key to the locker is illegal. Yeah. So this person that would steal a video camera would not break the law and copy a key. No way. It just does not happen. Now, that was before I realized that the person had actually gone into my pocket and taken the key, so it's kind of a moot point, I suppose. And I found that out because he had also taken cash from my pocket as well. And I guess there's worse things they could have taken, you know, like they could have taken my plane ticket back, but they didn't do that. What was especially annoying was other people were coming up to this cop and saying, hey, you know, I can't find my camera. You know, I had my camera in my locker, and I can't find it. And so I say to this cop, you know, I'm sort of playing Lieutenant Columbo here, you know, I suspect that there's a link here, that the fact that all these other people have had stuff ripped off is linked to the fact that I had my stuff ripped off, you know, and maybe it's the same person doing this, and it's, you know, a string of incidents that are all related. He didn't agree. He didn't agree with that. He didn't think that there was any relation, and he didn't think there was any need to talk to these people because they weren't pursuing the matter. They thought, well, maybe I misplaced it. Maybe I put it someplace else. He didn't see the connection. He didn't pursue it. And he said, look, let's just file the report. File the report. That's all he wanted to do was file the report. You know, he wasn't especially interested in finding anything. And I thought, you know, I had this strong suspicion that since only people within the building could have gotten to this particular locker, in other words, nobody could have gotten into the complex after a certain time because they lock it up, obviously somebody within the hostel had taken it. You know, somebody who was staying there or somebody who worked there or something like that. And I thought there's a chance that it's still here, that somebody put it in another locker. But, of course, they couldn't launch any kind of investigation like that. They couldn't try and search the place. They didn't even try to do that. It was really upsetting to see the lack of cooperation. So we went to the police station and we spent an hour typing out the report on a manual typewriter, and it was really kind of pathetic because I realized that you know, there could be a guy standing right outside the police station waving my video camera in the air, and nobody else except me and this cop with his manual typewriter knows that the thing was stolen. I mean, he didn't get on the radio and say, all stations, you know, here's a special alert, there's a video camera that's loose. No, he didn't do that. He just went to a manual typewriter and typed it all out. Took an hour to do that. And that's how they file police reports there. Boy, it was the most incredible thing.
I will never complain about justice in New York again. Never. So that was my unpleasant experience. But, folks, there is a positive side to this. No, I didn't get it back. And it was insured, so I guess that's a positive side, too. But it shouldn't have to be that way. The positive side was going to Amsterdam afterwards. If you ever have something really horrible happen to you, always go to Amsterdam. It's a place of healing. It's a place where you feel much better. And especially if you know people there, which I was fortunate enough to do. So while I had one major horrible incident happen to me in the course of this this journey, I'd have to say that for the most part it was an incredible experience. And one thing I've learned is that smiles are universal. You know, you smile at somebody and it's like you're bridging a gap no matter what language they speak. That's kind of the corny thing that I bring out of this. Okay, 632-6901, area code 516. Is there anybody out there?
Yes, hello, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
How are you? I'd like to let you know that I will have a letter read on Moscow Mailbag next week.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. One of our listeners has the guts to actually send a letter to Moscow Mailbag. Well, we'll have to make sure we play that tape.
Are you rerunning the tapes that you missed this
no,
week?
No, actually, there's a pile of tapes, and I just picked one of the ones that was, you know, for the 3 weeks that I'd been away. I'm not sure if that was the most recent one or, you know, 3 weeks ago.
So I got the- That surprise you? Let you. Hello.
I'm sorry.
You there?
Yes, I had to go away for a second. Could you repeat that?
Well, should I tell you?
Go ahead.
Firearms, and I just asked. I know you sort of don't like them, so to speak. But I asked him, you know, what is the current status of shooting sports in the Soviet Union?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the most popular forms of shooting, such as like a bench rest or. Trap and skeet, things like that. And I also have an interest in animation, so I asked them, are there any animation studios that produce films on a regular basis in the Soviet Union? So I'm just waiting for an answer next week.
And they said that they were going to answer your question. Did you make any mention of USB?
I forgot.
You forgot? You said the question?
I forgot.
Oh, my God. Well, okay. How are we going to know it's you?
Because they'll say my name from Holbrook, New York.
Holbrook, New York. Okay. Well, I'm glad somebody wrote in from this radio station, you know, who listened to this radio station. And let this be a lesson to our other listeners.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people have questions about the Soviet Union. I mean, that's a good question.
Okay.
And if you have more questions, I'm sure they allow you to do that.
Yes. I'll be writing in again sometime in the near future, too.
How long between the time when you sent the question and the time that you heard back?
Approximately 3 weeks.
That's all, huh?
That's all. And they sent me a letter. It's all in Russian, except for my address. And it's a nice square envelope, orange and blue.
Yeah, I've seen those envelopes. Well, the letter they sent you was in English, though, wasn't
it? Yes, it is.
Okay, that's a good courtesy for them.
Yeah, and they give you a small program guide and frequencies if you have a shortwave radio.
Right. That's very handy. But if you don't have a shortwave radio, just listen here, and you'll hear your questions answered on Moscow Mailbag. Well, thanks for doing that.
All right, no problem.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye.
632-6901. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. You were talking about uplifting experiences.
Yeah.
And I was talking about, well, it was, a lot of people would consider it an uplifting experience. This Paul Simon concert that went on this week in New York City.
Uh-huh.
I got a different bead on this whole thing. There were like 750,000 people there. I'm sitting there, and a large number of police officers, and there are people smoking marijuana all over the place.
Uh-huh.
I see a cop standing right next to this guy who's toking on this big spleef. So I say to him, you know, hey, and he's looking right at him. I say, hey, do you care that this guy is in there? You know, he's smoking marijuana. And he says, you know, we're too busy. We've got enough things to do. And this is going on all over the whole park. Meanwhile, that same moment's kind of ironic. Paul Simon's up there. He's singing a song late in the evening. And he goes, so I stepped outside and smoked myself a J. And of course, you know that J is slang for a marijuana cigarette.
Right.
And meanwhile, David Dinkins, mayor of New York, mayor of a city that he says is ravaged by the drug trade and all that, he introduces this guy and gets up there and sings about smoking marijuana, like tons of people smoking marijuana. Meanwhile, he goes the other time, war against drugs, drugs is the problem, we got to bust all the drug heads. He introduces this guy who's obviously involved in the drug culture. He doesn't make his police officers do it. Do you think if Paul Simon got up there and said, stepped outside and smoked myself some crack, he'd make any difference there?
Well, I think crack is viewed in a slightly harsher context than marijuana, which I don't think is really that serious a drug. No more serious, certainly, than alcohol.
But no, but this is the mayor has been publicly stating his opinion, you know, with the drugs bad, and he doesn't seem to differentiate that much between the two, as like William Bennett or George Bush or any of these other people don't make that distinction.
Well, I agree there. It's a rather simplistic thing that groups like Partnership for Drug Free America, they say things like this is what pot does to your brain, and then they in the next breath tell you something about crack. And I think that's so harmful because if somebody tries marijuana, they're going to see it's not really going to affect them all that much. But then they're going to say, well, since I tried marijuana, then I guess I can try crack, and that's not going to affect me all that much, and he couldn't be more wrong. Now, we have to differentiate. You know, one kind of drug is not that serious, while another drug is very serious. Which one do you fight? You fight the one that's more serious. You don't fight them both with the same energy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I just thought it was kind of a strange thing that no one seems to mention that aspect of Paul Simon there and his whole, you know, hippie 60s drug culture references and his music, like Kodachrome. A lot of people say Kodachrome is about taking drugs or taking LSD. He sang that song, too. And the mayor's just like, you know, happy-go-lucky, this guy writes some hit songs, this little guy, and we'll let him, you know, do this.
Yeah, well, why not? You know, it's, he's not telling you things that, you know, drugs that hurt you, drugs that you get hooked on and that destroy your life. He's giving this from a completely different context, smoking marijuana to kind of relax you, perhaps, taking LSD to expand your mind, even though that's open to debate whether he even was saying anything about LSD in the first place. You know, there's two kinds of drug culture. There's the evil drug culture, and then there's the, experimental, where you don't get out of control. And I think we've got to recognize that. If we just say no to everything, that's very simplistic, and I think it's going to backfire.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's nice to hear your thoughts on it.
You agree with me? I thought you wouldn't agree with me.
No, I'm thinking, like, from his point of view there, you know, the mayor, you know, if you said this to the mayor, hey, you know, I think if he was singing this song, did you even care? I think he wouldn't say that. I don't think he would have that response, which I think would be a little hypocritical
for him. Yeah, I don't expect the mayor to agree with every song that a performer is going to play in his city. I think he's just...
Well, he left his support, and he stepped on stage and introduced him, you know, give it up here for... He was like our City Hall on your City Hall show, except his Mayor Dinkins with a New York City show, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, it was a good show, wasn't it?
Oh, you know, it was some high points, I guess.
750,000 people? It was a good crowd?
That was the official estimate.
Peaceful crowd? No problems?
No problems. It's surprising. You know, Diana Ross, seems like her music whips people up into a frenzy.
Uh-huh.
Those, you know, ain't no mountain high enough and all that.
Yeah, I don't understand what it was that caused that outbreak, but...
People, you know, they're ripping the chains off, they're running around, like, you know, like animals, and, you know, people getting beat up and hurt, and this, you know. Uh-huh. It's kind of weird, you know, Diana Ross, she's been singing, you know, all those old Motown hits, and it drove everyone crazy.
Yeah. Well, that was a long time ago, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was nice to see, you know, a nice sunny day, and, you know, everyone had a good time and all.
Well, actually, it wasn't a very sunny day. It was kind of overcast.
Well, I mean, by the time, you know, it didn't rain on people, which
no.
is, you know, that was a nice thing to
the
see.
Grass was just kind of soggy.
Kind of weird to in New York City to get that many people together and not have that many incidents. I expected there'd be, you know...
No, you know, it happens quite a bit, actually, for the bicentennial and the thing in 1986, and lots of huge events in New York, conventions and parades. There's never a problem, and I think that says something about New Yorkers. And in fact, you know what? There's something that I learned when I was in Europe. I learned that New Yorkers get a really, really bad rap everywhere, and it's not justified. It's not. People in Europe are so much pushier than people in New York. You know, every time I was standing online in a fast food joint, somebody in a European city would just walk up right in front of me, you know, and they'd stand in front of you and just, like, try to cut you off. And that never happens in New York, does it?
They seem to have some big cojones. I don't know. We were talking about parades and stuff. We had that. We won the war parade. We killed all those Iraqi bastards.
Well, that's a national mistake, I think. But
they had the parade here, and there were, like, all these drunken sailors running around going nuts and all this... boozing in the streets, and I was afraid to even watch that on television, let alone be in the streets there.
Uh-huh.
And that's within, you know, within 2 months when they solved it. You get up two different sides there in New York, I think.
Uh-huh. Well, for the most part, I think New York is a very well-behaved place.
Well, you know, it's my home.
Yeah. Listen, thanks for calling.
Thanks, my pleasure.
Okay. But no, really, folks, New York gets such a bad reputation, and I don't think it's deserved. People in other cities, all right, Nice, for instance. Everybody's pushing and shoving in Nice, and they don't need to push and shove. You know, it's not that crowded a city. I saw this one occasion, and I am not kidding. I am not kidding about this. Crowded sidewalk, right? And everybody wants to get to the other side of the street, except there's a problem. The light is red, and the cars are going. So I'm three people back in the crowd, you know, from the curb. The guy in front of me just walks up to the person in front of him and shoves him into the street. Just goes boomf. And the guy is like in the street, and of course all the cars stop, and everybody is able to walk across the street. The guy that got pushed into the street didn't think anything of it. It's as if it happens all the time. Can you imagine walking around in New York City and having somebody push you into traffic in order so that you could clear a path so everybody could go? That's something that I actually saw happen, and it didn't seem to surprise anybody. And the incidents where people cut you off in line happens all the time. And I mentioned it. You know, I mentioned to some of my European friends that, you know, that would never happen in New York. People wouldn't cut in front of you in line. And I said, yeah, because if you did, you'd get shot. So no matter what, you can't win if you're a New Yorker, you know. If you're polite, well, it's polite because, you know, they're polite because everybody's afraid. And if you're not polite, well, it's because you're a New Yorker. I don't know. I just don't buy it. Now, not to say I don't like Europe, but it's just certain things that that rub me the wrong way as far as attitudes and stuff like that. Okay, we've got a couple of interesting bits of news here. Where is everybody? By the way, I want to thank Cindy for filling in for me, but I don't want to thank her. She's lost all my listeners because we used to get bingos on the phone, and there's not a single line lit here. Now, I can't imagine that everybody has just sort of found other things to do. This is a hot Saturday night. Soon to be Sunday morning. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. Come on, it's boring. It's Long Island. Absolutely nothing is going on. Oh, yeah, I know there's people driving around in cars, and you've got places to go. I saw this guy driving around tonight. Oh, what a winner this person was. Playing music louder than you could ever imagine. You could hear it for like a square mile around his vehicle, which was, you know, one of those Jeep type of things. And he's got like this baseball cap on, playing this loud music, got a Confederate flag on the back, and a big thing on the license plate says, America, love it or leave it. Oh, the kind of guy you really want to get to know a little better, you know? Oh, but there's people like that driving around, of course. There's all kinds of other people on the streets. And if you are in a car, you've got 16 minutes to pull over and give us a call from a payphone, 632-6901. We've got a couple of news stories, but I'm debating whether we should go to one of our features first. You know, I think we should. Let's go to one of our features, and by then, I want to see some phone calls. Don't disappoint me. I've been away for too long, and I always dreamed about coming back and talking to the people that listen to this radio station. All right, but before we do that, it's time for one of our favorite features. Yes, it's time to ask a really, really stupid question. And today's stupid question is a rather simple one, simply, where am I? Where in the world am I? All right, we're going to make a call to a particular place using my secret long-distance company. We'll be hearing the dial tone any second. Ah, there it is. Now, beeping out the special numbers here. No, you can't figure out what these numbers are. I challenge anybody. And in a moment, we will hear a friendly voice that will be able to answer the question, where am I?
AT&T USA Direct, how can we help you?
Yes, hello, AT&T. I was just wondering, can you explain what kind of calls can I make on this service?
On the AT&T USA Direct service?
Yes.
You can place calls to the United States, calling card or collect.
Okay, so I can call the United States from here?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me, are you able to tell what country I'm in?
Yes, I am.
And what country is that?
You're in the Netherlands at this time, sir.
I'm in the Netherlands. Okay, that's very good. You have some kind of computer, I guess, that tells you that.
Yes, when you dial the access code, that identifies what country you're coming in from.
I see. Well, I guess that's proof of just how valuable computers are these days. Well, thanks very much, and I do intend to use the service at a later date. And that is our stupid question for today. And for once, I would have to say that the answer was more stupid than the question. Well, maybe that explains why we're not getting calls. If I'm in the Netherlands, then of course you can't call me because we're 6 hours ahead. But that can't be, can it? No, of course not. You know, I actually heard this show from various parts of Europe, because you can call the special USB airline at 516-689-1662, and a couple of times I checked in just to see what was going out over the airwaves, and, I heard various things. Various things I won't get into here. All right, 632-6901, good evening.
Guys, I've been mad stuck shit.
All right, good evening.
Hi, I just called up because you said you needed a call, so I figured I'd call up.
Well, here it is. This is the call I needed, I guess.
Yeah, kind of the dumb call right after the dumb questions.
Well, the stupid questions. That's the official name. That's the trademark name.
Sorry.
Where is this dumb call coming from?
This dumb call is coming from my new house in Bellport.
You had to think about that for quite some time.
Well, I just moved here, so I'm not quite exactly. Never been to Long Island before.
Never been to Long Island?
Or should I pronounce it Long Island?
Well, now, if you've never been to Long Island, where did you come from?
I came from upstate, actually.
So, why did you go to Long Island?
I'm still trying to kind of figure that out. They offered me a job, and I told them I'd take it, but now I'm not so sure.
Well, now, here you are in Bellport. What, have you bought a house or something?
Well, they gave me one.
They gave you a house? This must be a nice job. What, do you work for the CIA or something?
Well, that's a secret.
Okay, we won't get into that then. So, there you are in Bellport, which is very nice this time of year. And, I don't think you have anything to complain about, unless you don't like your job.
No, I just don't really like Long Island, actually.
Oh, what's wrong with this town? This is a nice place, isn't it?
I do actually like it. I every night I dine at a different fast food restaurant.
We have them all. We got your Taco Bell, your Burger King, your Popeyes even, McDonald's.
You get Arby's.
Try finding an Arby's that's still in business.
Let me think. I think maybe it's just that those big beefy sandwiches they make just don't apply to. People don't want to eat big.
I guess not, but the thing is, I got a coupon in the mail the other day, you know, offering all kinds of nice things at all participating Arby's, and there aren't any Arby's around me that are still in business. They're all boarded up.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what Arby's means?
No.
Well, RB, roast beef.
Right.
Pretty neat, huh? I figured that out myself.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely, they you got them rolling.
They don't
the
teach
aisle.
You that kind of thing in school.
Excuse me?
They don't teach you that in school, you know.
No, they didn't really teach you a whole lot in school, actually. No. I'm originally from Rhode Island, and,
Rhode Island?
Yeah, Rhode Island, actually.
All right, why is it Rhode Island when it's not an island, huh?
That's just, you know.
Yeah.
Federal confusion.
Federal confusion.
Federal mystification.
The best kind.
But, we're known to have the worst schools in the country, or I think, actually, we might have dropped down a couple of notches.
I heard New York was vying to be the murder capital of the country.
Hmm.
You know, overseas, that's all they seem to get out of this country is violence.
Violence,
and it's
yeah.
Sad, because the films that you see, you realize as you're watching them, and people there are fascinated by them, that there's so much violence. Shooting, and they're just getting Terminator 2 now, and they're all into that.
And they, you know, serial killers, too. They just got Silence of the Lambs a couple of months ago. And what do you think the major news story is that we're all watching on CNN International, which you can get over there?
Well, about that guy eating people up.
Right. And everybody's glued to the TV set watching this, thinking America is this crazy place where everybody kills themselves.
Well, we do. We also kill foreigners, too, and that's nationally televised, internationally televised.
Uh-huh. Well, we believe in giving everybody a fair shake, I suppose.
It's definitely one of the best TV shows that's been on in a long time. It was the spring series, wasn't it? News?
Which is this?
The news, the war coverage.
Oh, the war coverage, yeah. That was, well, CNN did a good job with that. Of course, I don't get CNN where I live. I have to go to Amsterdam to watch CNN.
Right. Well, actually, I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I've been to Europe a couple of times, and it hasn't been a whole lot of violence, actually. I think I've got beat up worse in Hartford than I did in...
No, I'm not saying there's a lot of violence in Europe, although there is some violence in Europe, but I'm saying what they get from the States is you know, the TV shows, the movies, the news. There's so much violence.
Definitely a kind of blunt-headed culture.
Uh-huh. And what the other thing...
But, I mean, movies like Rambo and stuff like that.
I said there was kind of a theme to this trip of mine, and the theme was jeans. And, man, these Europeans, they are so into jeans. It's sick. Everybody is walking around... with button-your-fly shirts, just like they are here, and 501 shirts. Now, can you explain to me why anybody would go out and pay money to wear a shirt that has the name of jeans on it? I can't understand that. I mean,
they'd go out and buy jeans that have been pre-ripped, pre-washed.
That's another thing I never could get.
Yep.
But you're buying a commercial. You are buying a commercial. Now,
if somebody came out with a brand of jeans called Mendelian jeans, then I'd definitely buy them.
Why is that?
Mendelian jeans? I like the name.
Well, yeah, I guess it is a kind of cool name.
Gregor Mendel?
Uh-huh.
He's the man to know jeans.
Well, now, don't you think they should be paying you to wear a shirt like that?
Yeah, I could go for a little bit of professional sponsorship. That would be good.
All over the place, all over you. Every bus stop in Amsterdam has a different number on it. Some says 501, some say 510, some say 503.
Right.
All different kinds of jeans, and I guess each bus stop has its own sort of specialty.
Right. Different style. They've got, like, red ones at the 511s, and 501s are definitely blue, right?
They play such important... I guess we place importance in it, too, since we started it. But it's something I just can't understand. I can't for the life. And I've tried. I've sat for hours trying to figure this out, and I don't know why people wear advertisements and are so into jeans.
It's the American way, definitely. Supposedly Harley Davidsons are getting really big. Everybody wants a Harley Davidson. Did you see a lot of Harleys when you were there?
A couple.
Supposedly, just because of this war, everybody's decided to. Buy American, because that's the, you know, we're the world power now.
Well, I didn't really get a sense of that, but I there's definitely things over there that are American inspired.
Yeah, should be good, actually, because we could use the business, I suppose.
Well, yeah, but then again, everybody could use a bit of business, I suppose.
So I've been listening to this show for about the past hour and a half, and I've been kind of waiting for some music. I listened to maybe one or two Clash songs, but...
Well, you're going to get a lot of music in about 5 minutes or so, because that's when the music show comes on. This is actually technically a talk show.
Format of your show, then. You're basically a talk show, then.
Yeah, basically a talk show, but occasionally we lapse into music, just like the music shows occasionally lapse into talk.
Right. I've noticed there's been a lot of talk on, especially, I guess, Wednesday night. There's this show where everybody's been known to talk a lot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, we try to, you know, shut people up occasionally, but they just keep going on and on and on and on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it is here at USB. And it happens, you know, out in the hallway, too, when we're just talking to people, you know, it's socially.
Right.
It's like, shut up already, you know, I've heard enough.
Right. I guess that's my cue, huh?
Yeah. Oh, no, our listeners, we always enjoy hearing from. But
no.
We do have a few more listeners that we're waiting to hear from, so we're going to go.
Hey, great. I'm waiting to hear some more problems from other people.
Okay, well, good luck in your house.
Yeah.
And good luck with your secret job.
Thank you.
632-6901. Good evening.
Fuck you, Beth.
Good evening.
Hi, I have a sort of question.
Yeah.
What exactly is vinaigrette? Is it female vinegar?
You know, that's something that I don't think we can talk about here.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. That's a probing question, though. Good evening.
How you doing? Eric, where you been?
No one's asked me that before. How am I doing? You know, I've never really thought of it. How am I doing? How am I doing?
How are you doing?
I don't know how I'm doing.
Really?
I don't know. I honestly haven't a clue.
Were you on last week's show?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, so this is the first one you're back.
Well, actually, last week I called in from the train station because I had just arrived at the staying up for two nights straight, trying to get back to this country because if I didn't stay up all night and go to the airport first thing in the morning, I wouldn't have made it back because I was flying standby and there were only two seats available on the whole plane and they only have one flight a week. So I made damn sure I was at the airport very early in the morning, but it cost me a lot of
Yeah, because I was mad because I missed your show last week because I was wondering if you'd be back in that, but because I started listening to the show. Like, how long ago did you leave?
I left, I guess, about a month ago.
Yeah, I started listening the first week you were gone. I'm like, this show sucks. No offense, I mean, to the other people.
Well, it's an opinion, you know, and I guess
show great. I mean, they didn't even do stupid questions. I was so mad.
Well, nobody can do stupid questions like I can do stupid questions.
No, you do the best stupid questions.
But I do have to hand it to that AT&T operator for the stupid answer tonight because that was award-winning as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm in the Netherlands. I'm in Holland, you know? I really feel good about that.
I mean, you know, stupid question deserves a stupid answer.
Uh-huh.
Right. But anyway, you know, I'm just glad you're back and don't go away again, please.
Well, okay. Put that way, I guess it's hard to argue with.
Okay.
Thanks so much for calling.
Thanks.
All right. You know, oh, that's a nasty sound there. There was stuff I wanted to talk about tonight, like the Inslaw case. Have you folks been following that? There's this whole big thing where this guy that was onto this this conspiracy involving the government, involving Reagan, and you know, the Iran-Contra scandal and the Inslaw software company. This guy suddenly commits suicide, or so we're led to believe. Everybody who knows him says, no way this guy committed suicide, he was murdered. And now there's just the threat, the thought of this incredible scandal involving the government, involving all kinds of international figures, involving the banking scandals that are popping up everywhere. And never before have I seen anything quite so ominous, where you get the feeling that there's all kinds of secrecy out there, all kinds of things that aren't supposed to be revealed, and death to those who do reveal them. I'll read a story very quickly, and if Kibrit isn't here by then, I'll keep going, but we'll see. The verdict of suicide in the death of reporter Joseph D. Danny Casolaro on Saturday, August 10th, has been challenged by friends and relatives. This report comes from the Newsbyte service. Casolaro, 44, of Fairfax, Virginia, had been, according to reports, involved in an investigation of the allegations surrounding government activities in the Inslaw software case. Casolaro was, according to reports, found dead in the bathtub of his Martinsburg, West Virginia hotel room on Saturday with his wrist cut. Dr. James Frost, an assistant state medical examiner, was quoted as saying, "The wounds are consistent with being self-inflicted, but that doesn't mean that someone else couldn't have done this if he were not able to defend himself." Virginia McCullough, Virginia McCullough, a freelance journalist and friend of Casolaro, told Newsbytes that Casolaro was working for over a year on a book concerning the allegations by Inslaw President William Hamilton that the Justice Department first broke a $10 million contract with his firm and then stole the firm's software and subsequently sold and donated it to foreign intelligence agencies. So, according to them, the Justice Department had this contract with this company, then broke it, and then kept the software and sold it on their own. It's bizarre. McAuliffe said, "It is ludicrous to think that Danny would kill himself. He had recently told me that he was looking forward to a trip that would give him the documentation to prove the Justice Department's involvement. He said, for the first time, I've become a real believer that the government was involved in these things." McAuliffe went on to say that Casolaro was never depressed in his conversations with her and that they often spoke, sharing information in relation to the case. McAuliffe, herself involved with a company that she says had very similar experiences to Inslaw, is currently writing a book detailing what she says
have been questionable acts by government agencies in the use of bankruptcy proceedings to stifle the development of technology. I mean, doesn't that sound ominous? Sounds crazy. Questionable acts by government agencies in the use of bankruptcy proceedings to stifle the development of technology. Castellaro's brother, Dr. M. Anthony Castellaro, was quoted by news services as also doubting the suicide reports. He said that police told him a handwritten note saying, "I'm sorry, especially to my son," was found at the scene. The House Judiciary Committee is presently investigating the Inslaw charges and had announced in April of this year that the Justice Department, after long delays, has agreed to turn over documentation relating to the case. The case began in 1985 when Inslaw filed for bankruptcy, claiming that the Justice Department had stopped payment on a 1982 contract for the installation of Inslaw's legal case management software, known as Promise, without the E. And that was to be installed into 97 U.S. attorneys' offices. Inslaw claimed that the government contract represented 70% of Inslaw's income and that the government action forced it into bankruptcy. Inslaw was successful, and a bankruptcy judge found that the department took, converted, and stole the company's property by trickery, fraud, and deceit. The Justice Department. I'm going to just read that one more time in case people didn't hear this. The company was successful. A bankruptcy judge said that the Justice Department took, converted, and stole the company's property by trickery, fraud, and deceit, and further said that the government's conduct demonstrated bad faith, vexatiousness, wantonness, and oppressiveness. I mean, a real judge said this about the Justice Department. Maybe I'm just naive, but I find that incredible. The Justice Department appealed the ruling, and in 1989, U.S. District Court Judge William Bryant upheld the decision and ordered the government to pay Inslaw $8 million plus attorney's fees. But the Justice Department continued to appeal the case, and on May 7, 1991, they finally found the court that agreed. They were successful when the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia reversed the bankruptcy rulings, saying that the bankruptcy court's rulings were too broad and inappropriate for a bankruptcy ruling. Now, the court said that while Inslaw is entitled to go to another court to press its claim, the U.S. bankruptcy court lacked jurisdiction. Commenting on Inslaw's allegations of misbehavior, The court said such conduct, if it occurred, is inexcusable. During the appeals, stories of illegal sales of the allegedly stolen software to foreign governments, including Iraq, Libya, South Korea, Israel, and Canada, and involvement of Reagan, Washington, and California appointees Earl Bryan, Robert McFarlane, and Richard Secord in the transactions, have caused the House Judiciary Committee to seek involvement, an involvement that the Justice Department has resisted. Elliot Richardson, former United States Attorney General, who now represents the president of the Inslaw Company, was quoted during the appeal process as saying, "Evidence of the widespread ramifications of the Inslaw case comes from many sources and keeps accumulating. It remains inexplicable why the Justice Department consistently refuses to pursue this evidence and resists cooperation with the Judiciary Committee of the House of Representatives." The case took still another turn when witness Ari Ben Menashe reportedly testified that the owner of Inslaw, who was William Hamilton, is a former employee of the National Security Agency, and that the software was modified into a Trojan horse in order to allow the NSA and the Mossad to listen in on the transactions of other intelligence services. The attraction of the case management software to these intelligence agencies was, according to witnesses, that rather than its intended use of tracking case witnesses and legal opinions, it lent itself to the tracking of dissidents and foreign agents. Incredible. Wire service reports stated that state medical examiner Dr. Erwin Sofer said that the reason that Castellaro's body was embalmed before an autopsy could be performed was apparently because officials ruled the death a suicide. I don't know, folks. Leaves me with a really bad taste in my mouth. A really bad taste. Now, according to the Boston Globe, Elliot Richardson was quoted as calling for a federal investigation of Castellaro's death.
The article also ties INSLAW, Iran-Contra, the October surprise, and BCCI together. While that makes a good story, people certainly must hope that it's not really true. Because, I mean, it's crazy to think that these kind of things can happen. And if it is true, think of what it means. Think of what it actually is saying. That our government is completely corrupt. Do you think the government is corrupt? Do you think they would resort to murder to cover something up? A lot of people seem to think that, and I don't know. You know, I guess it's politically correct to believe that kind of stuff today, but it's a scary thing to believe. And people are noting that the alleged suicide note, sorry, especially to my son. Say, what kind of grammar is that for a journalist? They also say a short suicide note is inconsistent with the usual clinical picture of a suicide victim, I guess you would say. But a short note is highly consistent with being forced at gunpoint to write something quickly. 632-6901. Let's hear if there's any opinions out there. Good evening.
If loud noises bother you, try earplugs.
If loud noises bother me, try earplugs.
About it.
Think about it. If loud noises bother me... This is something cryptic. I love cryptic things. Oh, boy. Loud noises bother me. Try... Did I mention loud noises? Was loud noises somewhere in this story? Well, okay. Maybe what the caller is saying is that if what I am reading here is disturbing, I should just ignore it. I should just cover my ears and hear no evil. It's got to be that, right? It's got to be the shoes. 632-6901. Good evening. Right. Okay. Good evening.
Yeah, if you have, like, a bright light that bothers you, do you wear a blindfold?
No, I turn the light off.
Oh. Okay. Oh, yeah, by the way, you hear about Pee Wee Herman?
That was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was funny. He was jerking off in a porno movie.
Well, I mean, did you see the picture of him, the mugshot?
Yeah, with the long hair. I read in the Inquirer.
That's what he really looks like. I've always wanted to see what he really looks like, and now I know. Of course, now everybody knows.
Yeah, well, now I guess Pee-wee's going to be dead because he doesn't want to do it no more.
Well, that's the end of Pee-wee Herman, but it was a brave career.
Little kids, too.
Yeah, I don't think they should have yanked the show. I don't think I should have pulled, canceled.
Off the show?
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. Thanks for calling. I didn't want to talk about Pee Wee Herman anyway. Good evening.
Greetings.
Uh-oh. Well.
It's the no.
Oh, no.
Y'all.
I came back for this.
Do all of radio. Boys and girls, get out the cassette recorders. It's Mr. Radio on a cheap telephone.
Mr. Radio, where have you been for the last couple of years?
I've been in Daytona Beach, Florida. I'm back. I'm rolling tape as we speak to WUSB. Is Mr. Backfish still working here?
Of course Mr. Backfish is still working here. Mr. Backfish is our backbone.
I mean, this guy used to teach social studies at Smithtown East. And he's a DJ. He's one of these hippie DJs, if you will. A gentleman in the first-class gentleman all the way.
Uh-huh.
Many things to banter here on the picnic table. Boy, this phone sounds cheap.
Well, it's a cheap phone. You shouldn't use cheap phones.
I mean, really. But you're putting me on with no delay. I get my headphones on. And I would, I mean, this is great. I like it. No delay.
You're not supposed to hold the phone up to the radio. You get feedback. And you, Mr. Radio, should know... That feedback is not a good thing.
Is Stiltskin still calling the station?
Yeah, I haven't heard that name in years. So I guess the answer is no.
Oh, now, this is the agenda we have to banter about this evening here at 90.1 FM.
By the way, I don't know why I'm still on here. I'm supposed to be off the air at 12, but nobody else has shown up, so I guess I'm on now. So.
Oh, okay. Why don't you just, like, leave and let me take off?
Yeah, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because, see, let me tell the people out there in radio territory. I've been listening to this radio station ever since Paul Harris, Mike Girardo, with the Saturday Night Circus, the Anti-Disco Coalition. I used to use the name Stephen Springfield.
Remember that?
I'm sure there's people out there that have tried to forget it.
Remember, what was that show that Arnie Pritchard did on Saturday night, on Friday nights?
You must mean the Better Than Dead Air show.
That was a great show. This is reminiscing here on a Saturday night at WUSB. I'm Frank Burgert, taking calls. Remember Walt Scratch?
I sure do.
Is he still here?
No, he retired, I guess, and went to Florida.
You see, he used to be my English teacher, a fine gentleman, a first-class gentleman.
Oh, we only accept first-class here. We don't have any coach.
What is this thing with ex-Smithtown East teachers working here? I mean, don't they get paid, you know?
We have a secret tunnel from Smithtown East to WUSB. I don't know what it is, but there is a certain attraction. I do agree there. And we do get a high percentage of students from Smithtown East who wind up working at the radio station, and they all know Mr. Backfish. And some know Mr. Scratch still, but not very many since he's not here.
Mr. Backfish is a wild hippie. I mean that in a good term. He's a fine gentleman, a first-class gentleman. Let me take some calls here. You go have yourself a donut, a croissant, read the journals, and let me take phone calls.
I'm afraid that goes against the charter of this radio station. While we can talk to you and allow you to banter on with inane chatter for a little while.
Okay, that's good. That's
We cannot allow the inane chatter to replicate. that's part of the rule here.
Okay, let me just reminisce, people. WUSB.
Okay, you've already lost one call, so see how many more you can lose. But
wait, hold on, Eric.
632-6901.
Sir, please, let me just, quiet, okay?
No problem, I'll shut up.
I'm a former WBLI disc jockey.
That ought to explain a lot. How is it that WBLI has not changed the way they sound in, 50 years or something like that? I don't know.
Oh, let's not discuss that radio station.
I haven't heard a song I like on that station. I don't think I've ever heard a song I like on that station.
Okay, now.
But my personal tastes have nothing to do with this, of course.
Okay, please, just go.
I hate commercial radio. How can you live in commercial radio land, huh?
Sir, okay.
I'm sorry, I just... You bring out the passion in me.
What's going to pay the bills, okay? Not your good looks, okay? What do you do for a living when you're not on the air?
Madonna is not going to pay my bills.
Oh, God, this guy is like anti... Anyone who is trying to make a buck, he's anti-Pee Wee Herman. He's anti-Madonna.
Who said I was anti-Pee Wee Herman? I love Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, sir.
I have all his shows on tape, I'll have you know.
Okay, let me just talk...
I can watch them anytime I want.
Sir, I don't like this phone system because, really, you can... out-talk me here with this phone system, the way you have it set up.
And my voice sounds a lot better than yours, too.
I know. Well, I got to get rid of this cheap $10 phone.
No, I wasn't talking about the phone. I was saying my voice sounds a lot better than yours.
Sir, don't insult me.
I wasn't insulting you. I was saying a fact.
Okay, let me just reminisce for the next 10 minutes about USB's past.
Okay. Reminisce, but make it quick because we have other calls to get to.
Sir, I'm doing
a show.
Why
do you say
here.
Sir like an operator?
Okay, let me just talk about the past.
Okay.
It was about 1977. It was a hot summer night. Mm-hmm. The wind was due east. I had nothing to do that Saturday night.
Hey, speaking of hot summer nights, have you heard about Hurricane Bob?
Sir.
Sorry.
Go call Norm DeVoskin at News 12 Long Island, sir. Okay? Get a life.
I only speak to Drew Scott.
He's now at Channel 11.
He's my idol. I love that guy.
Oh, my God, you do need help.
The Drew Scott Fan Club, that's me.
Let me just talk about Norm DeVoskin. Have you ever seen him? He's the weekend forecaster at News 12.
No, in case I haven't mentioned it enough times, I don't get cable.
Oh.
Sorry, I want cable, but I can't get it.
This man has no life. Let me just discuss Norm DeVoskin. This guy, I don't know where they got this guy, but the man is out of it. I mean, the first five seconds he talks, he says something stupid. I like Roberto Cerrato, who is on Monday through Friday. Roberto Cerrato.
Why does that name sound familiar? Was he on something else?
Yes, he used to be on Channel 11, also WTNH out of New Haven.
Is he the weatherman?
Yeah.
I remember him.
A short guy, little curly.
Yeah, I remember that guy. Oh, wow. He wound up on News 12, huh?
Yeah, his career has... really plunged to the lowest forms.
That's so sad. But, I do remember him on Channel 11 years ago.
Roberto is a fine gentleman, a
first class. Yeah.
Can I just ask one question here?
Yeah.
Why in the world are we talking about this?
Because, really, we're both losers.
I'm beginning to fear that's the case.
Now, let me just finish here. Will you please go have yourself a croissant?
No, I like the sound of the word finish, but I do want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you still working in radio?
Very shortly, I'm going to be the morning man out of a Long Island station. I can't divulge that at this time, but negotiations are almost at its pinnacle.
Is this one of the new stations that's signing on?
No, sir. It's an established station. I can't give any details.
Well, no, we don't want any details. We're just curious about, you know, if you're going to be near this particular place.
It'll be in Suffolk County.
Oh,
I don't want to give any details. The deal is not done, but it's almost reaching its pinnacle.
So it still could fall through and you know, it won't happen.
Yes.
Okay.
That is possible.
That's all I need to know.
Okay, let me just finish here. Let me reminisce about 1977.
Oh, boy, 1977. That was the most boring year in the world, but go ahead.
It was I fell in love with the radio, with WUSD. It was a lonely Saturday night. It was June. I just was tuning around the dial. I found this radio station with Harold the Disc Jockey, funny phone calls, and I said, this is for me. It was Mike Girardo. It was Paul Harris. It was Frank Burgert. It was the Anti-Disco Coalition.
We lost another call.
It was my puberty. It was special.
It was a hell of an ordeal for everybody else, though.
Let me just take one call.
I can't. Look, the phone system cannot handle that particular technological feat, unfortunately.
But do you remember Stephen Springfield calling up, doing bits, mentioning Uncle Floyd? People don't do that anymore here.
No. And that's proof of evolution.
Sir.
632-6901.
Are you trying to, get rid of me here?
Well, folks, we're going to keep talking to Mr. Radio until those two lines that are now blank are filled. When they become full, we'll have to go to some more calls. And that means that we won't be talking to Mr. Radio anymore. So, Mr. Radio, say what probably will be your last words, because we only have... Oh, wow, I've never gotten lines to light up that fast.
Oh, God, he's dissing.
Concluding remarks.
Okay, I want to do a show here one night. Let me do 3 hours, open phones. Let me do my shock radio, if you will, and garnish some high ratings for your station.
I would be more than happy to do that.
You like that idea?
If.
What?
You're willing to do the exact same thing at your radio station.
Sure. I'll let you come down and clean the toilets.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Glad we cleared that up. Good evening.
How you doing?
Well, I'm recovering.
Oh, okay. One second.
Yeah.
Norm Dvoskin is the best meteorologist in the world. Roberto Torrado, whatever his name is, sucks.
Well, no, wait a minute. How? I didn't know this was such a sticking point with people here as meteorologists. I mean, how important is a good meteorologist anyway?
I don't know. Roberto Torrado is annoying, okay?
Yeah?
And Norm Dvoskin is the best. Okay?
See, I feel so left out because everybody apparently is watching cable TV and I don't even get it.
Well, then also you got that Lloyd guy on Channel 11. He's pretty good, but I like Norm Dvoskin.
Wait,
he's the best.
Isn't the Lloyd guy on Channel 9?
Yeah, 9 or 11. I don't know.
All right. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss something there.
Yeah. Anyway, but Roberto Torrado, he's an absolute moron, okay?
Yeah.
The guy's a moron.
Do you know USB doesn't even have a weatherman?
Hey,
we have a digital thermometer outside, okay? That's all we have. That's it.
Can I send an application for it?
Sure, yeah, please.
All right.
We need help. We need lots of people to do things around here.
All right, go another call.
Okay, thanks for calling. 632-6901. The program is Brain Damage. Sarah Corley. I don't know why I'm still here. I'm not supposed to be here now, but as long as I am and as long as people are calling in.
Their 10th anniversary, and to celebrate, they're giving away a trip to the land of Jamaica. All you have to do is get a postcard right. Win a trip to Jamaica in a heartbeat on it and send it to WUSB 90.1, SUNY at Stony Brook, New York, 11794-3263. We were submitted for the grand prize drawing. Also, do stay tuned to WSB Reggae Shows for more fabulous Heartbeat CD and tape giveaways. What a ting! Ja love, give thanks, Irie.
What a ting, yeah. Okay, 632-6901 is our telephone number. As usual, nobody is talking about the topic of the day, but I guess that's to be expected. Topic of the day being corruption. Yes, corruption with a capital C, and all kinds of surprises and secrets. Good evening.
Yes, I think on News 12, Joe Jaffe would be the best weatherman. But besides that, I'm sure the radio station that Mr. Radio is going to be working for is going to be WBOR. A question for you.
WBOR, I love it.
I wanted to know if you thought which movie would come out first, the Dahmer story or the Pee Wee Herman story?
Oh, Pee Wee Herman, definitely, because people forget quickly, and in another 6 months, no one's even going to know who Pee Wee is, so they're going to have to start shooting like in a week or so. The question is, who's going to play Pee Wee Herman? You know?
Yeah, and the corruption bit, I think they're going to find out Bush is responsible for a lot more than just what's coming up now.
Well, you know, I wish they would get on with discovering this already, because people have been saying Bush is behind all this for like 8 years now, except nobody can seem to actually find anything.
Did you hear the news about the graffiti found on Plymouth Rock?
Yeah, the swastika. That's horrible, isn't it?
I heard that also. After they had scraped that graffiti off, they found some underneath of it. Stuff like eat maize, pale face, and like that were written in the paint under.
And don't tell me, underneath Plymouth Rock is like the bodies of 40 people that this guy is claiming he killed, right?
Possibly. I was just more interested in the other graffiti that was under the paint.
America is a land of evil secrets. God bless
you. Well, you have other calls to get to. As long as they're not Mr. Radio, I'll let you get on with the show.
Okay, thanks for calling. You know, it's amazing how people at this radio station, or people who listen to this radio station, remember. They remember the trials and tribulations of the past. They remember depths of despair from which we escaped, the sewers, if you will, that we climbed out of, and now have rinsed ourselves off and are preparing to live life again. And when something like that catches up to us, something from the past catches up to us, they are quick to call in and say something about it, because they remember what it was like. I just think that says something. Damned if I know what it says, but I know it says something.
Yes,
hi, operator. I forgot the number for the studio line of WUSB, the radio station in Stony Brook, New York.
Thank you. The number is 632-6901.
632-6901. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you.
632-6901. Thank God for operators. Good evening.
Hello, it's Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, that's good, actually.
How you doing?
Where might you be spending this Saturday night?
Oh, this is my one phone call I get from the jail.
Pee Wee, you're not in jail. You haven't been charged with anything. All you did was...
I got charged for jerking off. You want to jerk off with me?
Well, you know, that would be conspiracy, and then you'd be in a lot of trouble, you see, and then I'd be in trouble, too. And then they cancel my radio show, and, you know, we'd both be roaming the streets in search of something meaningful, and that's not the way I want to spend my life.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Because, you know, if you search for something meaningful, you might find it. And nothing but trouble if you find something meaningful. All right, folks. We're going to ask for a couple more phone calls and then start wrapping things up, because something's got to happen here. Okay. All right. Tony, are you listening to me? Yeah. Okay, he's shaking his head no. That means he's listening to me. he's really kind of simple-minded as far as that kind of stuff goes. shaking his head no. Tony, I'd like you to come in here for a moment, please, because you might have an answer to a question that I'm asking here, such as, where in tarnation is the DJ supposed to be on at midnight? And it's now 12:27, and we're still doing brain damage. It's just like the old days. It's like we're taking a trip down memory lane and coming up with some of the old characters of the past and some of the old circumstances of the past, and Tony certainly qualifies as all of those. Tony, you're here now.
What about it?
Well, do you know anything about this? Where's Kibret?
All right. Kibret is not in this country.
Put the microphone up to your mouth.
Kibret is not in the country right now.
Yeah, right. Kibret is not in the country?
No,
what do you mean?
He's not. He has been on vacation for the past 2 weeks. So the girls were supposed to come up tonight, and one of the girls called and said that she couldn't make it, and she was expecting the other one to come, and the other one didn't show.
So both of the girls have let us down. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You're saying both?
Well, no, not both.
I'm pretty sure I got this.
One had a legit excuse.
Uh-huh.
The other one just didn't bother to show.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
so
I don't know what's going on.
We played it safe. We had two people covering for one person. Two people covering for one person, and neither one of them came through for whatever reason.
Let's not
That's what you're saying.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that one.
Don't touch that. Don't touch
excuse.
That. Those are the tripods. You're not supposed to touch those. No, they're tails out. They're tails out. Which reel is that? Is it your reel?
No.
Whose reel is that?
That's your reel.
Don't touch that.
Okay,
touch
so
that.
Let us fast forward it then.
Yes.
Now, back to what I said. One girl had a legit excuse.
Uh-huh.
The other girl did not call or anything, so we don't know what's going on.
Can we call her live on the air?
No, we can't call her because I don't have her number, and neither do you.
What if we ask for it? There must be somebody out there that has her number.
Who are you going to ask for?
Wait a minute, what if we ask her to call us? You
Eric,
never thought of that, did you?
Coralie, do me a favor. Do what you do best.
Tell me something. Do you think the government is corrupt?
Of course.
You see, everybody is saying that, but you don't seem to realize the ramifications of what you're saying. If the government is corrupt and would actually go around making people kill themselves when they don't really kill themselves.
This country is not as intelligent as I thought it was.
Uh-huh.
If people were really smart, what they would do... Hold on a second.
Let's walk out of mid-thought like that. Come back here. Can you believe that? He says, what they would really do, and then walks away because something like caught his attention in the other room? That's typical. Typical of today's society. Their attention span is so incredibly short, they can't even finish a sentence. Let alone focus on something important like, is the government corrupt?
You schmuck!
What?
I couldn't finish the sentence because there were two idiots out there, and just as I went to go see where they were, they started running, so...
There's two idiots outside?
Well, they left, you know.
So there's two idiots running down the hall now.
Right. But getting back to what I was saying before I was rudely interrupted...
Well, maybe those two idiots are friends of mine.
Yes, you've been known to have idiots as friends.
Well,
I know
this. Anybody would run down the hall seeing you coming after them.
That's right. Big, burly, beefy, muscular, of course. They know that they get their head torn off, which is exactly what's going to happen to you. Anyway, this country is not the most intelligent country. All right? There are a lot of dumb, ignorant people, and... People should realize that if you put someone in office that you know is corrupt, that you know is no good, that you know about their background, and you know what they're doing, and you still put them in office anyway, how intelligent can you be?
Sounds to me like you're criticizing the president of the United States of America.
I'm criticizing everyone in the White House, my friend. Every politician I'm criticizing.
You know, somewhere...
They say a good politician is a dead politician.
Somewhere out there...
and you know it just as well as I do.
Somewhere out there, that guy is riding around with his Jeep with the Confederate flag and the America Love It or Leave It, and he is just tuned to this radio station because his tape ran out and is playing really loudly now, and he just heard what you said. And now all he wants... is the address of WUSB, so he can come over
then
here.
Then what I would suggest you do, you know what you should do?
What?
Give it to him. This way he could meet me mano a mano, and he'll realize that he's not only in for a fight of his life, but perhaps the fight of his life.
No, I thought you meant to say the fight for his life?
No, because he'd be fighting for his life
right.
when I went just before I destroy him, but it would be the fight of his life.
Well, this isn't a video game. You don't destroy people. You know, you reason with them. You
Eric, don't you realize something?
Them.
Eric, don't you realize something? Okay.
We should give you home address, not the station address. That way, more people won't get involved than need to.
Coralie.
What?
Listen to me.
Yes, I'm listening. I'm always listening.
Man
I'm the eternal
is self-destructive. Man will destroy himself, because man does not have the intelligence to understand that you cannot destroy others because you want something that others have. And that has always been man's greatest, his biggest problem, greed and stupidity.
Well, thank you very much for enlightening me on that. The human race is completely worthless, corrupt, and doomed.
All you have to do
is... feels a lot better knowing that.
Look at all the wars we've had over stupid reasons.
Yes.
Very dumb reasons.
But look at all the wars that we haven't had over good reasons.
Unfortunately, Mr. Crowley, you can't convince me on that level. Therefore, I will say this to you. Just as the dinosaurs' time has come to pass, so shall ours.
And what will replace us?
Hopefully, a life form that is far more intelligent than ours.
Hey, have you seen Dinosaurs on TV? I mean, that's a quality TV show.
I can't believe it. 12:32 a.m.
is incredible.
We're talking about dinosaurs.
No, you talk about progressive television, the kinds of things that you never thought would get on the air, and dinosaurs on primetime TV.
Actually, Eric, I'll be honest with you. Television is...
People thought Alf was
television
a fluke.
Is the pits. It really is. Television is really the pit.
So what does that make radio?
Radio will always be theater of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It allows a person, hopefully, if they have a brain upstairs, to sit down, listen, and explore. Okay? And I think people today don't do that. People today want things shown to them. That's why they run out and watch stupid movies like Friday the 13th and all these other dumb movies. Everyone is afraid of the imagination. You know... People, what you should do is get a good book, read it. I mean, read it. And let your imagination play the role. Read it. Stay away from these dumb movies.
Yeah, I did a lot of reading when I was over in Europe, because when you're on a train, you can't watch TV. And, you know, I read all these books. I read books about the Ceausescu's in Romania and all the horrible things going on there. I read books about computer hackers and things like that, and... You know, it's very easy not to read around here.
Yeah.
Very easy not to read because you have so many distractions. But when you're in a situation where, you know, there really aren't that many distractions, you find that you can really rip through those things and get a lot out of them, too.
Do you want to hear something frightening?
What's
what
that?
Would happen one day, Eric,
yeah.
if every single supermarket shut down?
Well, I don't know. I guess
do you know what a panic... No. Think about it for a second. What would happen if every single supermarket in America shut down?
Well, only 7-Eleven's more expensive, but they still have...
When I talk about supermarkets, I mean all grocery stores.
Well, 7-Eleven's not a grocery store.
What if there was a way...
But 7-Eleven's not a grocery store.
Eric.
It's a convenience store.
Eric, the point I'm making is, what if there was no way...
Well, I just don't want you to lump something into the wrong category.
I'll give you some lumps on your head. What if there was a way where everything where to purchase food, man-made products, all of a sudden disintegrated?
Why don't you just say, what if all the food disappeared?
Well, because there are many forms of food. There are plants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You still have animals out there. They are a form of food.
There are
and
animals.
For those
there,
of
yes.
us, for those of us who like to go to the next level, there's always man himself. But the point I'm making is,
what's that supposed to mean? The next level, there's always man himself.
Yeah. So
cannibalism, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, it does exist, Eric.
Yeah, we found that out watching CNN International over there in Amsterdam.
Okay,
didn't we?
So then you shouldn't be
crazy
surprised by
guy
what
walking
I just
around.
Said. Wouldn't it be frightening for those who do not know the means of surviving without man-made products?
Well, I'll tell you this. Roaming around Europe, you're always looking for something familiar. You're always looking for the McDonald's, even though you hate McDonald's, because it's something familiar, it's something that is consistent.
Because we've been programmed, Eric.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, the subconscious mind has been programmed, okay? And that said, all right, we ourselves are like trained animals.
Well, that's what civilization really is, isn't it, is trained animals. What do you think human consciousness is all about? We train ourselves, we program ourselves, we're always... doing something. Where are you going? He's walking out again. Well, you see another couple of idiots inside? I don't have to deal with this anymore. 632-6901, our area code, the area code here, in case anyone from Connecticut is listening, and I know you're listening in Connecticut, folks, and I know that it's cheaper now to call than it ever has been before, and I also know that it's very rare for us to be on at this time of the day, so call now or forever hold your peace. 632-6901, area code 516. I'm going to take a call.
Please do.
All right. Good evening.
How you doing?
Okay.
Listen, why don't you like stay on all night?
Well,
that wouldn't be wise.
Why don't I stay on all night is the question.
That really wouldn't be wise.
there's certain, you know, considerations to the community that this radio station has to uphold. And, you know, we just don't know if that would be the best thing for the community. You know
it wouldn't
mean?
Be the best thing for the community.
I'm sorry?
How late are you going to stay on
until? Until I get fed up and walk away.
And that's pretty soon.
Or until I jump at Tony White because he says one stupid thing too many and I want to
kill
him.
And that won't happen because he'll be flying out the window.
No, I got another question for you.
Oh, that just shows how smart you are. We don't even have a window.
Oh, yes, we do in the library.
Yes, caller, you have a question.
What does the W in the beginning of, like, every radio station stand for? You know, like, WBLI?
Ah, that's a very good question. Do you know what it stands for? I happen to know. It stands for the word wireless.
Wireless?
As in wireless radio. Somebody told me that once. But all the stations to the east of the Mississippi have W. All the stations to the west have K, except for some exceptions that happened before the rule was made, whenever that was. But, yeah, I'm told that W stands for wireless. I have no idea what K stands for.
Hmm.
But, you know, that might not be right. But you will also find that all stations in Canada begin with C, and all stations in Mexico begin with X, and all stations in Ecuador begin with H.
What about Baghdad, Iraq?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I don't know that.
Well, I know we always got reports from Baghdad Radio, but...
Well, you know, most countries, they don't have call letters, they just have names, like, you know, Radio whatever, Radio Baghdad, or, you know... Radio Luxembourg,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So, yeah, we have kind of a unique system.
That's cool.
Yeah, and a very orderly system, too.
Man, I had another question in my mind. What was it? Oh, yeah, who was that other guy with you?
He just ran away again. But,
what's his name?
That's Tony White. In fact, you can hear him at some point tonight, because he's coming on later.
Oh,
when everybody goes to sleep.
Ask me if you ever took an ice pick and shoved it into the air.
I happen to know the answer to that.
Has he?
He hasn't, but someone else has tried. And for some reason, he wasn't agreeable.
Oh, who tried?
Who was it who tried shoving the ice pick in your ear, Tony?
No one never did, but I guarantee you, if this caller has any brains, what he'll do is he'll tune to another radio station instead of bothering us.
Wait a minute.
Hey, wait a minute.
You use the word us. Now, hold on. Caller, I don't go along with that at all. You were not bothering me. Maybe you were bothering him, but you were not bothering me. I value our callers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been calling for many, many months now.
And we want you to continue calling for months to come. And continue asking probing questions such as that one.
I was going to say something.
Well,
I don't know.
What town are you in, sir?
I'm in Port Jefferson.
Oh, that's a nice place, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like Port Jefferson.
You want my address?
No, that's okay. Yeah, it's not necessary, but...
Is that girl that's supposed to show up?
There are two girls supposed to show up. Neither one of them did. One had a good reason, one had no reason.
No, the other girl that didn't call?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I happen to know who she is. She called me and told me to call the show and tell you guys that she was getting laid.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks so much for filling us in on that particular bit of information. Good evenings.
Says, I think the government is corrupt and the taxpayers are to blame.
Well, because they don't do anything about it?
They don't do anything about it, and they encourage them by supporting them financially and voting for them or not voting at all, not taking over town hall, not going down to Hop Hog in massive numbers.
Uh-huh. And why do you think they don't do this?
People are more concerned with their day-to-day existence than the death and starvation of tens of thousands of people very far away.
Uh-huh. Or the corruption very close.
The corruption very close doesn't affect them as much as it affects the tens of thousands of starving people very far away.
I see.
And there are many people in Suffolk County who probably do have the free time to go down to Hop Hog or go up to Albany and try to do things, and there are enough ways for people to get by without having to pay their taxes, I think.
So you think people shouldn't pay their taxes?
Until things change and get better, that's one of the things people could do.
See, I agree with him.
Uh-huh.
He's right.
I've spoke to people that even work at the IRS, and there are a lot of people that just send little notes about protest.
Uh-huh. And what becomes of them?
It really messes up their system and clogs up with court cases. And
well, you know, I've heard stories from people that work in the IRS, and they say all kinds of people send all kinds of things. Like, one person sends envelopes filled with excrement. And I don't know how they get through the mail, but they... And he puts his address on it, so they know who did it.
So there are people out there that are acting on these thoughts.
I'm trying to act upon it myself, and I just First Amendment rights, free speech over USB, just expressing my opinion and thoughts on it.
Okay, well, we're glad that you did. What town are you in?
Sunny Selden.
Sunny Selden. Well, it's not sunny now, is it? Or else we're in more trouble than I thought.
Streetlights on tonight.
Oh, the streetlights, yes. The sodium vapor of Selden.
Did pay our taxes. The streetlights are still on tonight.
Okay, well...
good night.
Good night. See you later. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening. Is anybody there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I don't know. The station is kind of too open.
Too open?
It's good in a way, but I don't know. It's too open sometimes and not open enough in other times.
Okay, what do you mean by too open?
It's hard to... I don't know, like, they talk about, like, Pee Wee Herman, you know, you see he's jerking off and all this.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but then again, like, it's so much, like, you hear cuss words in the background, people cussing at you when you answer a call.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, it's weird. Forget about it.
Well, it's live radio, you know, these...
It's cool, you know, I like the music, I like to sit here and just listen to, like, all these people talking, like that dude from Long Island.
Uh-huh.
That's fun.
Well, you see, on USB... almost anything can happen, and you never know when it's going to happen. You know, that's real radio.
What is it?
Shut up, Tony. Do you understand?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's too hot.
Hey, oh, it's definitely too hot, but that's not our fault.
I didn't say it was anybody's fault. It's too hot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's way too hot.
I don't know. I like it. It's cool. I like the station. I just keep it that way. That's all I had to say.
Okay, well, we'll try.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. I guess we sort of covered all bases there. 632-6901. It is an amazing place, and I'll say this. When I was over in Europe, it was something to look forward to, coming back, all personal, people in the room aside. I was really looking forward to coming back to this place and seeing,
You know what I wanted to ask you? Yeah. What is the difference between radio over... in Europe as opposed to America?
Well, you know, there is no college radio in Europe. There is no college radio
Someone
at all.
Someone else is telling me that, too.
Yeah, man. What you have is you have a very sparse number of stations, like maybe 5 or 6 stations across the FM dial. And they're all either... most of them are national stations, especially in England. You know, you have your Radio 1, your Radio 2. Some are owned by the government, some are privately run. But you don't have... a full FM. I mean, it's incredible what you see when you come here. There's a station every frequency virtually.
Okay, now, obviously, the stations that are run by the government are censored. Am I correct?
Well, they're censored, they're controlled, certainly, but the things that they do say are things that we would never say. You know,
such as, give me an example.
Well, I can't, because we're not allowed to say things like that, but, they talk about things that, they talk about news items in a lot more in depth than we do, and this goes for newspapers as well. You see language printed there that they don't print in newspapers here. On TV shows, you know, they don't cut out words. They don't cut out nudity. There's a lot more nudity on TV.
Are the private stations more outspoken, more controversial than the government-owned stations?
Well, a little bit, but not as much as you would think.
Give me an example.
I'm talking about okay, in England, for instance,
mm-hmm.
Spitting Image is a program that airs on Channel 4, which is one of the independent stations. And it's only 4 channels. It's BBC One, BBC Two, the ITV Independent, which is Channel 3.
I'm familiar with both of the BBC channels, right?
The ITV, which is Channel 3, is regional. In other words, depending on what part of the country you're in, mm-hmm. programs differ slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Channel 4, which has all kinds of pretty good programs, I would say. One of them is called Spitting Image. And that's what that is. It's a bunch of puppets that kind of resemble people in the news, and it's very, very biting political satire. Stuff you could not see in this country because it is so critical and so disrespectful. But the people over there just love it because, you know, that's part of the culture is making fun of
there
things.
There was a show like that here.
Like, you make fun of the Queen, you make fun of Margaret Thatcher and John
right.
Major.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had this whole big sketch with John Major saying,
I think I'll be gay, because that way people will notice me. There's a whole big sketch about this, about how, you know, people... And there was this one, you know, I didn't know all the...
Let's just pray now you didn't offend someone who's gay out there.
I didn't know all the British politician people, but, you know, they were all represented there. And there's this one person on the wall who is a snail. He's got the face of a British politician, but he's a snail. He's on the wall, and he's just talking back and forth with the other people that are in the room. And you wonder, why is this guy a snail? And it's obvious when you think about it, because he's really slimy, this guy. They made him into a snail. You know, you don't see such wit here. You know, you don't see that kind of wit, and it's too bad that you don't. Now, the original question, you know, are they more... daring than the BBC? Not really, because the BBC airs things like they aired the 25th anniversary of Monty Python, which had all kinds of interesting bits in it that you probably wouldn't see even on public television here.
Right, because some of Monty Python's sketches and themes were censored here,
mm-hmm.
or edited.
Well, they were not censored over there,
right?
And they see no need to do that. And if you're offended by it, you're offended by it, and that's just it, you know?
How far can you go as far as publicly denouncing the Queen?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of ridicule, but you get the sense that underneath all that ridicule is just, you know, respect for the existence of it anyway. There's so much tradition and culture over there. Like, you have the guards in front of Buckingham Palace that just stare straight ahead. You know, you've seen those guards.
Everyone's
yes, seen them.
Right.
The red coat and the huge hat. There's a couple of other places in London where you just walk down the street and all of a sudden you see one of these characters just standing there guarding a door. And it's the silliest thing because they just stand there.
What's in that door?
Well, that's just it. I don't know. I don't know what they're guarding. Usually it's an empty building of some sort.
And they're guarding an empty...
They're not allowed to do anything, apparently. And you see all these tourists. I was watching this for about a half hour. It was so funny. All these tourists from all different countries... clamber up to this poor person, and they have their picture taken next to him, and he's just standing there staring straight ahead, not even cracking a smile. Every 15 minutes or so, I don't know how he knows when to do it, he makes this noise and plays with his gun and marches up the street and comes back and then goes back to his position of just staring straight ahead.
What's the time of proximity that they have to stand there? And
I don't know. Well, I wasn't about to stand there and find out, and I'm sure he wasn't going to answer any questions.
You know, there is one question, though. How do they take Americans? Like, how do they,
well,
you know, do they respect us, or do they believe in the media propaganda, or, you know what I mean?
I think they're fascinated by America, because we're such a crazy place, and we are a crazy place, and that's what makes it so much fun. But they respect individual people. I don't go there and say, you know, I'm a representative of this or that. I go there as an individual person, and I speak to people one-on-one. And that's, you know, I didn't get a sense of any disrespect based upon that.
Right.
With the exception maybe of France. In France, people are kind of, I don't know what the word is, but you gotta act just right in France, or you get blown off completely. Like, if you're talking to somebody on the phone, and first of all, don't bother speaking English, because... They won't speak to you unless you speak French. Fortunately, I know a little bit of French, and I was able to say a couple of things. But if you get something wrong, like if you conjugate the verb in the wrong way, or if you leave out one of the pronouns, it's not considered impolite for them to just hang up on you right there on the spot. And it happened to me a bunch of times. And if you've listened to this program, where we sometimes employ operators to call overseas and ask for things, the operator asks the wrong question of a French operator, they're immediately hung up upon, and it's just that's the way it is. And there's no two ways about it. So it's kind of like a cultural thing.
I think I'm going to like that over there.
Are you going over there?
The thought has crossed my mind.
Yeah, you should. Everybody should go over there. No question about it. Because you come back here filled with all kinds of, new enthusiasm. Because you see the way other people do other things. And
were you glad to be back here? Were you glad
definitely.
To get back here?
Definitely. Because, first of all, I wasn't sure I was going to make it back on that iffy flight that I took.
Okay, but here's my question now. Were you glad to come back because you didn't think the living conditions or the ways that they live over there were suitable to you? Or were you just glad to get back here because, you miss people
it's good
or
to
whatever?
Have, well, I miss people. It's good to have your own place. It's, it's good to be able to be in control of your destiny. You know, it's good to drive around or just, you know where a particular store is. The things that drove me crazy in Europe that I felt I couldn't live with, they don't respect cold drinks, okay? Everything is warm. They don't put ice
You know, when it's hot outside, you want something with ice in it, but you can't get it anywhere. You just have to settle for, you know, lukewarm things.
But do you know doctors will say, but hold on a second, do you know doctors say that when it's really hot outside, it is not good to drink something ice cold?
Yeah, well,
cold.
That just goes to show why doctors are no fun at all.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, go ahead. Finish.
No, I mean, you know.
No, I understand what you're saying. Go ahead, finish.
I want to satisfy my desires, and if I want ice poured all over me in the hot sun, then that's what I will have.
Okay, Eric, these are kind of small desires, but understanding what type of person
you
are, it's clear.
My needs are very simple.
Yes, please continue.
Now, there's all kinds of cultural differences. Somebody gave me a very valuable tip in Amsterdam. We were talking about French people. For some reason, the topic of the French comes up quite a bit. They told... this story about this person who was pulled over by French police, okay, and he didn't speak any French. He spoke English, and I think he was he Dutch? I guess he was Dutch, and he only spoke Dutch and English, and the French are notorious for only speaking French.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he knew that if he asked them if they spoke English, they would refuse to speak English and would only speak French. So. They were.
Is there something wrong with your nose?
No. They were.
Why are you picking it?
What? Don't be disgusting on the air.
No, seriously, why are you picking your nose?
Well, because.
I'm trying to pay attention to what you're saying.
If
and you're
I pick
picking
you,
your nose.
It would be a worse
no,
choice.
No, Eric, there would be no reason for you to pick me. There's a reason why you're picking your nose, isn't
uh-huh.
there? Don't mess with the. With
Can
my
I finish this story?
Volume.
Are you just going to.
Well,
off
the only
all
reason why I cut in, Eric, was because you were picking your nose. And I was trying
I was
to
not picking
what you were
my
saying.
Nose. All right, people, listen to me. Believe me. Okay, I've been on the air here for a while now. I think we've developed some trust. Tony is just trying to undermine.
Trust? Eric, I would never
undermine
try to
the relationship
really
between,
to undermine. I've been
between me and my
to
listeners
you for the longest, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you kept interrupting yourself because you were picking your nose.
So I'm
going
to punch your nose in a minute, though, if you don't be quiet. Now, listen to this story.
This is interesting.
All right. So,
by
the guy
way,
gets pulled over. The guy gets pulled over by French police, okay? And he's Dutch, and
right,
he speaks
from the beginning.
I am starting from the beginning. He gets pulled over by French police. He
okay,
speaks
who,
Dutch.
Who got pulled over
That's
by
That's it.
The
You're
French
being faded down. You are faded down now until I finish the story.
Who got
get away from
by
my
the
microphone.
Police? Who got pulled over by the police?
The Dutch truck driver.
Okay, how
I
want
to go back to the phone calls.
How fast was he driving?
Doesn't matter how fast he was
it
driving.
It does matter because you want to get to the point of the story. Now go ahead.
You're just doing what I do to you. Is that what you're doing? Okay.
Eric, come on.
You're just getting even with me.
Eric, come on. Let's be realistic. Start the story from the beginning.
If I was being realistic, you think I would be stuck in this room with you now?
Eric, start from the beginning, please.
Don't interrupt me again.
I won't.
I want to tell this story. It's a good story, too.
Eric, the sooner you tell it, the better.
So the Dutch truck driver gets pulled over by the French police. Okay? He doesn't want to speak, he can't speak French to him, and he knows if he speaks English, the French will just refuse to speak English. So he
Why
tries,
can't he speak French
he tries speaking, he keeps, to say, do you speak English and French? He's got parlez-vous anglais. So he
oh,
goes,
okay.
So he goes, parlez-vous, and does some other language, like Norwegian or something. So it's parlez-vous Norwegian, or the French equivalent to that. And the French policeman is totally dumbfounded, you know, and he's like trying to explain to this guy in French, and he doesn't, you know, he's saying, I don't understand anything you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And he just keeps saying, do you speak Norwegian? Do you speak Norwegian? And finally, the French policeman says, you know, do you speak English? And the truck driver says, yes. And so, at that point, he knew that, you know, that the French policeman had let down his guard and had spoken English first. So, he was forced to continue to speak English. He couldn't say that he didn't know how to speak English. And that's the way you have to deal with the French, I'm told. You have to make them speak English first, and then they can't get out of it. Now, valuable.
That's one of the dumbest stories I have ever heard in my entire life.
It may be a dumb story, but.
That is a dumb story.
It's a valuable fact.
You need to tell me you took up my time to tell me a dumb story like that?
You took up 10 times of our listeners' time by interrupting me.
The listeners have nothing to do with this. At this point, you took up my time to tell me a dumb story.
Now, this is valuable.
And the funny part about this story is that there's just no moral to it. It's dumb.
It's not dumb, it's immoral.
It's stupid. You took my time for a stupid story.
In a moment, I'll take your life for much less.
I mean, it's 12:56 a.m., 4 minutes before 1, it's 72 degrees outdoors, and you took my time for something like this?
Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, I need your opinion on something, since you're talking about foreign policy.
Okay.
I'm going to Moscow this December 7th.
Oh, great.
And I was wondering, I need your opinion on this.
The 50th anniversary of Pearl Harbor Day, do you realize that?
That's odd.
It is.
Yeah, but the Soviet Union was an ally, though.
Okay, then I guess you're in a good position.
Yeah, that would be better if I was going to Japan, I guess.
No.
Yeah, patriotic, no.
Yeah, it would go on your record.
Yeah, I can imagine.
On your permanent record.
I'm going to, as I said, the Soviet Union. I was wondering, do you think it's still a fashion no-no to wear white pants in the winter, even in the Soviet Union?
Well, you see, there's a lot of snow in the Soviet Union, so people...
You blend right in, though.
People won't see your feet coming, which is handy if you want to sneak up on people and they're not looking up at your face.
But then they could think that I'm just being some sneaky American.
Well, they're going to think that no matter what.
Mm.
They can always tell when there's an American nearby. It's something in their blood.
Yeah, but I heard they like Americans, though.
Well, they do now. Will they in December? That's the question.
Pay big money for American T-shirts and American tapes and...
Well, yeah, you're supposed to go over there with Beatles on cassette and lots of Levi's and cigarettes.
And I heard American Marine T-shirts.
Well, I don't know about that, but bring lots of single dollar bills because you pay people in dollar bills and not rubles. They don't like getting paid in rubles. It's true. It's their currency, I know, but they don't like being. They like hard currency, which is American dollars.
And then what do they do with it?
They can use it on the black market.
Isn't that odd?
Yeah, that's the way it works.
And what else is on the black market there?
Oh, everything's on the black market. Everything you can possibly imagine. And, you know, the people who only have rubles, they have plenty of rubles, but they can't buy anything because nothing is made available to them. If you have dollars, you can get anything you want.
Ah.
But if you really want to curry some favor, just give people presents of, you know, cigarettes or Levi's or whatever, and they'll do anything for you. I mean, I don't like to speak this way because it seems like we're being patronizing, but that's just the way it is right now. I mean, it'll be an interesting experience for you. How long are you going to stay there for?
I should be coming home a few days after Christmas.
Yeah?
But I'm not sure. I have relatives there, mostly in Lithuania.
That should be an interesting place to go. How are you getting there?
How am I getting where?
Are you flying into Western Europe or flying all the way to...
Germany.
You're flying to where?
Germany.
What part of Germany?
Probably Berlin.
Uh-huh. And taking a train from there?
A train? I think we're driving.
Oh, really? Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, me and my friend are going to stay in my... sleep in, I guess, a car.
Well, you can always go to a youth hostel. Just watch yourself when you go to those places, and various other, there's cheap hotels and things like that.
Do you think they're violent to American teenagers?
Well, I don't think sleeping in a car would necessarily be the best thing to do, especially in the winter.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so you want to be careful with that. Believe me, Eastern Europe is an extremely cheap place to get around in. For instance, I'm told that a train that goes all the way across Czechoslovakia cost, you ready?
Yeah.
$7.
$7.
$7. And I'm told that if you're smart, you can get from the western part of the Soviet Union all the way to the Pacific Ocean for under $30. I'm serious.
What kind of transportation is this? I mean, is this budget?
It's a train of some sort, or it might be a bus. I'm not sure. But the thing is, everything in Eastern Europe is extremely cheap. But if you were to buy, say, a train ticket from Paris to Moscow, that would cost you an extraordinary amount of money. But if you were to buy a ticket from, say, Paris to, the border of Germany and Poland, which is Western Europe ends, and then from there buy a ticket to Moscow, it would be much cheaper.
Uh-huh.
Everything within Eastern Europe is very cheap.
Let me ask you another question. You were talking about the swastika on the Plymouth Rock before?
Yeah.
Well, is there any story behind this? I just turned the station on when I came on.
I was over there and I heard about it, and I just heard that some moron painted a swastika, as graffiti on Plymouth Rock. I guess it's more symbolic than anything.
I have one last question.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about the hurricane that's coming?
No, but it's coming, isn't it? I mean, it's supposed to hit North Carolina or come ashore or somewhere around there, but they say they don't know where it's going to go, and it could come here. And, it has the right sound to it. Years ago when we heard of Hurricane Gloria and Hurricane Belle, they all had the right sound. And this is Hurricane Bob, and there's something about it that, kind of...
Hurricane Bob.
Yeah, it's got that note to it.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, let's keep our fingers crossed. Not many people wish for hurricanes. And it's not that I'm wishing for death and destruction, just a little destruction, some respect for nature, and, highway and urban flooding. It's always fun. Good evening.
Good evening. Sorry to bother you.
That's okay. No bother at all.
Okay, I have five quick things to mention.
Five, huh? Okay, go ahead.
Tony White, is he still there?
Fortunately, he's in the other studio right now.
Let me just talk about Tony White.
Go right ahead.
One thing that no disc jockey on Long Island does is play good classic disco records. And I think
there's a reason for that. It's because there are no good classic disco records.
You're being prejudiced against blacks.
No, I'm not being prejudiced against blacks. I'm being prejudiced against lousy disco music that I never liked when it came out, and I don't like it now.
Okay.
Not to say anything kind about Tony White, far be it for me to do that. He doesn't play disco.
He has in the past. I have tapes to prove it. He played Fall Into a Trance, First Time, True Love Affair by Jimmy Spicer or something like
you
that.
You seem awfully caught up in the disco.
I love Tony White because he has he plays disco records, and I have nothing. I like that. I like that human being. I mean, I've never talked to Tony. I talked to him once to request Mandalay by La Flavor.
Right.
Tony White, if he's there, please, Tony White, come to the phone on the air so we can talk about disco.
Now he is in the room now, but I don't think he wants to talk about disco, does he?
Tony, now admit, you used to play old disco records.
This apparently is one of your fans, Tony. This will give you an idea of your the caliber of your show. Go ahead.
Who is this?
This is Mr. Radio. And I just think I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Radio.
He
walked out of the room. He's gone, and I don't think he's going to come back. So for that, I thank you.
Wait, I have just a few more things.
Yeah.
Ken Grimball from News 12 Long Island.
Hold on a second. Why are we talking so much about News 12 Long Island?
They don't talk
about us. Why do we talk about them?
I want to talk about Ken Grimball. Okay, he's a great guy. He says, good morning, Long Island. Here's your traffic situation.
He's a genius, I know. There's no question about it. It's like, you know, Lowell Thomas remembers, but, let's get away from it.
Three other things quickly.
Yeah.
Is Mike Girardo still working here?
Mike Girardo is etched into the walls here. He will never leave.
Okay, he's still living in Center Reach, okay?
I don't know where he lives. I just know he's a part of this radio station. He's part of the soul and the very character of the building.
Okay, my two last things. That guy that called from Selden a few minutes ago sounds like Bobby Tornado. Bobby Tornado used to call the Saturday Night Circus and the Beat, and he used to brag that he smoked illegal cigarettes. That sounds like Bobby Tornado, a washed-up singer. And my last thing, I want to talk to the girls out there. Give me a call. I want to talk to the girls. Give me a call, 821-5...
You're not giving out phone numbers on the air. Can you believe that guy? Some things never change. 632-6901. Area code 516. And if you call up, you know, if you jam the phone lines with calls, then obviously certain other people can't call in, right? Doesn't take much to realize that. So let's get some righteous calls in there, and we'll keep all the bad elements out. I'm not referring to anybody in particular, but you know who I mean. Good evening.
How you doing, Eric?
Okay.
Welcome back to the States.
Thank you.
I was pretty amused by that story. I don't care what Tony says.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I finally got it out, you know.
Yeah. Obviously, you hadn't been in Switzerland because they make the French look good.
No, I was in Switzerland. That's why I had my video camera ripped off.
Oh.
So, yeah, I learned all about the Swiss.
At any rate, I turned into the show late. I just wanted to know if you had any thoughts on this Leonard Jeffries deal that all the talk shows have gotten a lot of mileage out of.
Let's see. Throw me in again.
Okay, Leonard Jeffries is the head of the African Studies Department
at
CUNY.
Right. Now, what exactly did he say? I've been hearing a lot of controversy about his remarks about blacks and Jews. What did he say?
Okay, well, his research, he claims, he's turned up a plot by Jews in league with the mafia to keep the black man down in Hollywood, and the Jews are responsible for financing distilleries in the Caribbean from distilling rum from molasses, and that was to keep the black man down. This is similar to these wackos here say these white man created AIDS and crack to keep the black man down. Now, nobody ever says, well, why doesn't the black man support the white man and not do AIDS or crack, whatever.
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, white supremacy, black supremacy, it all, you know, deals with hatred and everything like that, and I think it's, you know, you can read literature from one group and just replace the words, and it's the exact same thing, and that's, you know, on first glance, I haven't really researched this, but that's what it appears to be here.
Well, Eric, all black supremacy, white supremacy, whatever kind of supremacy you want to call it, it's based on more ignorance and stupidity.
And
but
fear.
I'd like to
yeah,
ask
a lot of
this.
Fear.
Well, you know, of course, fear comes in the mind of the unknown. But I'd like to ask this listener one thing. Did you get a chance to hear Leonard Jeffery's entire speech for 1 hour and 50 minutes?
No, but in the past, on a Black Affairs program hosted by Gil Noble, Channel 7, on, I think, Sunday mornings, I was fascinated by watching Professor Jeffery's lecture.
Okay.
Where he talked about ice people and, sun people, and it reminded me of the arguments that, they concocted in Victorian times of people with long skulls and people with short skulls and, cranial capacities and just, a lot of twisted, myths, and they claim it's scientific, and it's not. It's just it's racially motivated, and I think it stinks.
Sir, I'd like to make a suggestion to you. If you ever get a chance, okay, Monday through Friday, there is a station on 1190 AM. It's WLIB.
I know the station.
And Gary Bird does his talk show at 10 o'clock in the morning.
From the famous Apollo Theater.
Right. Dr. Leonard Jeffery should be appearing, okay, on that show sometime this week coming up. What I would suggest you do, and a lot of people are trying to see if they can get the entire speech on a